Shester Shikolal and Mashkiach. So I hope that at least some people have seen the Gemara on the beginning of the fifth parak, dealing with par kohen gadol. If so, in one way that'll...
We saw at the beginning of the year.
Exactly. I'm not sure if everyone seeing it will make my life harder or easier. We'll see. I once again seem to have fallen into my habit of picking large sugyos, which is my wife likes to say, go big or go home. So hopefully this will be a go big and not a go home. So the Gemara in the fifth parak, which deals with parashat Gadol, really the Shaka Vatari can be broken up into four elements. In terms of lion's share of the chabur, today we'll focus on the last two, the major elements. But just to quickly go over the Gemara, the Gemara is talking in the fifth parak about ketores and about chafina, and the Gemara discusses what happens if we need a replacement kohen gadol mid ketores, and that gets us kind of abruptly in the Mem Testament base to a discussion of what happens if the kohen gadol dies in the middle of bringing the dam of the par. That's the middle of Mem Testament base. The Gemara asks, "Yibaylehu shachar umeis mahu sheikanis achar b'damo miyamrinim b'par v'afilu b'damo shal par." Odelma bepar velo bedemol shopar. Right, where the Gemara is asking, can the new Kohen Gadol bring the can he continue with the old blood, or does he need to bring new blood? When you start reading the Gemara, is all excited because it sounds like we're going to get into some serious analysis. Right, demol shopar par. Can he? What stage is it too late for him to come into the carbon? Is it not? But when you get to the conclusion, or really Hemshech conclusion of Gemara, going from Mem Testament base to the Nemet Aleph, it seems like the Gemara is just asking whether Dam equals Par, whether you consider Dam to have the status of Par, and not really so much for us to dig into over here. One Ha'ara that I'll put out, though, just as a little bit interesting, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, when it talks about Enkategar Nasas and Eger, so the Gemara asks, well, why is it okay to bring the Dam of a Par? Right, Dam of a Par should again be a Kategar Nasas and Eger problem, and the Gemara there says that Ho v'ishtani ishtani, right? That no, we're not dealing with a Par, we're dealing with Dam, so you no longer have a Enkategar Nasas and Eger problem. Apparently that does not have to do with the Machokas here about whether Par, Dam shall Par is considered Par or not. But just, one point to throw out. One last hour on this little piece of the Gemara is at the towards the end. So when the Gemara says on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th line on Nunam Aleph, I'm Ravashi, Mestaver Kman Damar Dam Mikri Par. It makes sense to say that the blood is considered par. Dechsiv, Bezos Yabo Aaron El Kodesh, Rapar Ben Bakar. Right, so Aaron is walking into the Mishkan, into the Kodesh Hakodashim with a par. Atu Bekarne Ma'ayolay, right? He's not dragging the cow in by its horns into the Kodesh Hakodashim. El Bedamo Vekarle Par, right? He's bringing the dam, and nonetheless the pasuk refers to it as a par. Fine. The Idach B'meh Hukshar Aron Lebol Kodesh Par B'Makar Lachatas, right? So I think Rosenzweig spoke about this in Eschabura, but this idea that we are referring to, we're saying that Aaron is Hukshar to enter the Kodesh Hakodashim with the dam of his par, is a little bit surprising because he's not hukshar to enter the Kodesh HaKadashim with the dam of his par, right? He already entered the Kodesh HaKadashim, 10 minutes ago when he brought the ketores, right? So this seems to be a raya for the Vilna Gaon, right? Who thought that what the pasuk means is that the goal of the machshir is for the kohen gadol is for Aaron, right? To then go and daven in the Kodesh HaKadashim after doing the avoda, right? So what the Gemara then is saying is that the machshir for Aaron to subsequently enter the kodesh is by bringing his par. Okay, fine. That's
the dam has to be available before the chafina, right? That's something that's now.
Yeah, but I would think that's a Seder Havoda problem. That's not saying that the existence of blood is not his machshir to go into the... I mean, I wouldn't think so.
Okay.
But I mean, the Ha'ara still says that it can't be that it's... It has to be in the wings. It can't be, like, way down the line.
Okay.
The next thing you can do.
I think a strong objection could be the fact that the next part of the pasuk is the aisle. But not a problem for the graph, because he's just going to say that we're talking about the B at the end of it. Yeah. Okay, fine. That's really all that I wanted to get out of the first quadrant of the Gemara here. Quadrant number two is the Gemara from this point until the top of Nun Aleph from Abayz. The Gemara jumps in, right, and it asks, well, why are we talking about whether or not the new Kohen can step in to handle the blood? We're asking whether the blood is considered par or not. We should be asking, do you have a psul on your hands, right? And the psul you have is Chata Shmesu Ba'ala, right? V'tepokle, D'chata Shmesu Ba'ala, Ahi V'chata Shmesu Ba'ala L'misa Azla. So it's interesting, the Gemara, right, the Gemara's initial assumption is that we're dealing with a carbon which is subject to din of chataos and mesos. One of the major questions we'll have to figure out in the Chabura is what exactly happened to that Havamina at the end of the day, because when we get to Nineveh Beis, we'll see that it's really not so clear what the actual maskana of the Gemara is about whether there's a din of chatash mesobala here or not. The Gemara's initial response, the Gemara quotes Rav Amram, who says, right, that the par is a chatas atzibur, and a chatas atzibur is exempt from the laws of chatas shemesu ba'ala. Just skipping down, right, in Rosen Sachs-Sibur spoke about the subsequent shock of Atari, but just to get the shitos on the record, so there's a resistance to Rav Amram, specifically from Rava. And it seems like at the end of the day, when you get to the bottom of the Amud, we're left with three options. We could say that the par is a chatas tzibur. We could say it's a carbon yachid, or we could say that it's a carbon shutvin. Truth is actually on the end of, but when you get to Ninim and Aleph, there's no mentioning of yachid. It sounds like the two options available are tzibur and shutvin. If you look in Rashi, the bottom Rashi in the Amud, the lo maisi kon and par behora. So reading Rashi carefully there, he seems to think that there's actually no mandamar, at least here, that it's a carbon of shutvin. L'kuli alma, it's a carbon of the tzibur, and what the Gemara and what Rava is saying is don't call it a carbon of tzibur, because that will get people confused in the world of Horus. That will get people confused because they'll think that kanim ikri kahal for the purposes of bringing their par, their own par halnevash and tzibur, and we don't want that confusion to reign, so therefore we're going to call it a carbon ashutfin, but actually it is a carbon tzibur, even according to Rava on Dafnun. That helps Rashi for a couple of points. It's just important to note. Tosi Yashanam Tosa Rash, everyone asks, well, right, the Gemara gives, the Gemara asks, my nafkamina, which in of itself, right, is a bit of a strange question, but the Gemara asks, my nafkamina, delo ma'is yukon in par behora. So they jump in and ask, there should be a few different nafkaminas, and they have to explain why this is the single nafkamina to this question of shutfin versus tzibur. Rashi can duck that whole problem because he's going to say that it is a carbon tzibur. And when we ask, my nafkamina wasn't asking what is the nafkamina, which is in of itself a strange question because the difference between chatas shutvin and chatas tzibur should be pretty important. The Gemara is really just asking what is the threat, right? What is the difference which is causing us to not want to call it by what it actually is? Right, and the reason why we're calling it a chatas shutvin, even though it really is a chatas tzibur, is because of the horios problem, right? The lo ma'isu kon and par b'hara. Now, there's one problem for Rashi and one irony for Rashi. The irony, I think, for Rashi is that if we're calling it a carbon shutvin because we want to avoid any confusion about nafkaminas for horios. So it turns out that there still could be confusion because all of the nafkamina that Tosi Shana Tosaresh suggests, right, could be confusion issues in the opposite direction, right? Because Tosi Shana Tosaresh are there pointing out, well, you know, if it's a carbon ashutfin, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'll have problems of Misa, but if it's a carbon, it's a carbon tzibur, you won't, right? So Rashi will still, right, those confusions will come back because we're really calling it a carbon shutvin, even though it is a carbon tzibur. But I guess the difference that we're really worried about is that the kohanim are going to think they should bring their own parum davar tzibur. Fine, just an interesting point to throw out. A more concrete problem that Rashi has is just the next piece in the Gemara, because the next piece in the Gemara, Nun and Manalef, going to Nun Mabez, where the Gemara quotes Rabbi Elazar, right? Tan Tashma, the Bay Rabbi Elazar, the Devar Omer, Par Yomaki Purim Karban Yachid, Oset Tamura, O Eno Oset Tamura, Lav Michlal, the Ika Lamanda Amar, the Tzibur, right? So the Gemara responds to this approach, right? Rava says that it's a carbon ashutfin, not a carbon atzibur. Gemara objects. So wait a second, right? We're asking Laman da Amar, it's a carbon yachid. Is there a tamura problem? Mashmaos is that there's somebody who calls it a carbon atzibur. So what's the Gemara doing, right? Pashtus, the Gemara is saying, why is Rava saying it is a carbon ashutfin when in fact there's someone out there who thinks it is a carbon tzibur? Right, which Rava was supposedly denying, according to the Gemara. Right, so why are we attacking? If Rava really thinks that it is a carbon tzibur, then why is the Gemara attacking Rava in the very next line, saying clearly there is a mandamer who calls it a carbon tzibur? Right. So I think the answer there is going to be very simply that we're not interested in the fact that there's a daya that thinks it is a carbon seabor, right? What the Gemara's kasha and Rava is that there's a manda amar who's okay with calling it a carbon seabor, right? The fact that there's one person who said it's a carbon yachid implies that there's someone else out there who's calling it a carbon seabor, and that, according to Rashi, is the next question in the Gemara. Okay, so now we'll actually dig into I think the meat of what I want to talk about today. Let's read the Gemara, the first few more lines of Nun Amud Beis. Gemara asks, Gufa by Rabbi Elazar, right? So we just cited this a second ago, but we'll see it again. L'divrei ha'omer par yom ha'kipurim karban yachid, right? According to the person who thinks that the par yom ha'kipurim is a karban yachid, o set tamura, o eino o set tamura, right? So can you make a tamura or not, right? Kind of Kohen Gadol make a tamura. Right, you can only make a tamura out of carbon yachid. You cannot make a tamura if it's not a carbon yachid. So, kind of going, God, I'll make a tamura. Gemara asks, "My kamibayale, ibasar matish as linan, ibasar meskapra as linan, pshitad basar meskapra as linan." Right, if the question is who's considered the bailam of a carbon for purposes of tamura, whether it's the person who lays out the money and designates the carbon, or whether it's the recipients of the kapara, so it's obviously the beneficiaries of the kapara. Dam Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yochanan. Hamakdish Mosif Chomesh, v'hamiskaper Oseh Batmura. Right, the Makdish is the one who has to lay out the extra Chomesh in the event of Pidyon, but the Miskaper we know is the one who is the Bailim for purposes of doing Tmura. Right, so if you have multiple Miskaperin, but one Makdish, which is possibly the case of the Par Kohen Gadol, so that will certainly not have Tmura, right, because we have multiple Miskaperin. All of the Kohanim are getting kapara from the par. Just one higher to throw out there. If you read carefully the Piskei Harambam here in Hilchos Erchin and Hilchos Tamura, right, where he talks about the bailim for being machtish and the bailim for being miskaper. So I don't have the exact lashon on me, but if you read it, it's clear that he thinks that the primary bailim in general are is the miskaper. I think he has a language of Bailus in Tamura, and he doesn't in Erchin. I don't remember exactly what it was, but that was clear. It wasn't like, here you're the Bailim for some things, and here the Bailim for other things, it's 50-50, but that the Iker Bailim is the Miskaper, which is going to be important for us, because the main question we're going to have to figure out here is what is the difference in terms of Bailus between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim Hedyotos, or Hedyotim, I don't know, if they're all Bailim on the carbon, right? If they're all getting Kapara, then that means that they're all Bailim, so where are the differences going to lie? We're going to see that there definitely are differences. We'll have to figure out how we can pin those down and explain them. Continues the Gemara, V'atori mishalo shachavero tova sanashalo. Okay. Leolam pshitale de basar meskapra as linan, right? We knew all along that in the world of Tamura, the bailim are the miskaprim. V'achikam ebaile, achav akonim bikviyusa miskapri o dilma bikufya miskapri, right? So are the konim getting their kapara bikviyusa, or are they getting their kapara bikufya? Which was a celebrated enough line that was its own heading in the Makar sheet that I sent out. Now, what do these things mean? Bikviyusa or bikufya? Now, Bipashtus, This is all being said, Laman Da'amar, that the that it's a carbon yachid, right? Because the Gemara started off by saying, the Divrei HaOmer, Par Yom HaKippurim, carbon yachid, right? Osa Tmur or not. And we're responding to that question, right? We're responding to that Rabbi Elazar, saying what he really was asking, Laman Da'amar, it's a carbon yachid, was whether the kapara comes bikviyusa or whether it comes bikufya. Now, what do bikviyusa and bikufya mean, and how is that going to impact? How is that going to impact tamura? So there are two different translations. One is Rashi, and I think everyone else. I haven't found anybody who I think understands the same way Rabbi Nachmanel does. We'll get to him in a second. Rashi says that kufya and kviyusa. So kviyusa, everybody agrees, it means that they're fixed, right? So if they're fixed, that means that they are. Bailim in the carbon, right? And we'll get to Nun Aleph Mabez, and we'll fill out in a little bit more detail what that means. But they're getting, they're there, right? They're in the carbon. As opposed to Bekufya, Rashi says that Bekufya, it means that they're floating, they're kind of, they're floating on top, they're skimming off of the kapara of the Kohen Gadol, right? So the question is there kapara, Kohen Rashi, is there kapara direct as Bailim, or is there kapara indirect, that they're getting it through the Kohen Gadol, direct or indirect kapara, right? So if it's direct, then they are co-bailim, competitive bailim, and you will have a tamura problem. That's one damar b'kufya miskapri. The kufya miskapri tells me that they're not bailim in the carbon, right? They're getting kapara via the Kohen Gadol, and therefore he is able to make a tamura. There's no serious competition from the other Kohen. Both of those terms will have to pin down greater detail. Rabbi Nachmanel thinks that kufya doesn't have to do with floating. He thinks it has to do with gathering, like hakaf. He says the question is, everyone agrees that at the end of the day, the kohanim, the other kohanim, are going to be co-miskaprim, co-bailim in the carbon of the Kohen Gadol. The question is only at what point do they become miskaprim, right? So do they get into the carbon when he's matish at the beginning of the process, or do they only get into that's bikviyusa, or do they get into the carbon at the time of vidui when they all gather around to hear the vidui of the Kohen Gadol, right? Now that last moment before shechita is when he brings them in. So that's going to explain why there's an afkamina for tamura, right? Because obviously tamura is only a relevant afkamina while the carbon is unshechted, right? So so what the Gemara is asking is whether there's a whether they're not brought into the carbon until the end, and so that whole time the Kohen Gadol is able to make tamura, or whether they're brought in from the get-go, in which case they were shutzvin from the beginning, and therefore Kohen Gadol cannot make tamura. Now, one of the interesting things about that, Rabbi Nachmanel, is that it turns out that he thinks that the Gemara, even though it started off by saying it's a carbon yachid, the Gemara apparently has no problem assuming that actually carbon yachid in this context can mean carbon shutvin, right? Because, you know, bikviyusa, he says, means that they're shutvin from the get-go, and bikufya means that they're shutvin at the very end of the process. Right? So at least Rabbi Nachmanel thinks that carbon yachid can mean carbon shutvin. If we don't say that, if we don't say that we're recognizing this possibility that the kapara comes, if we're saying that their kapara comes bikviyusa, and yet we're saying that it's a carbon yachid, so we need to ask a very simple question, which is what does that mean, right? If they're co-bailim, then how can it be a carbon yachid? So in fact, it turns out that some of the Rishonim just deny that this is what the Gemara is saying at all. We have, but also Rabbeinu Peretz and also Rabbeinu Eliyakim in different ways. To set up Rabbeinu Eliyakim, look carefully at Rashi, because Rashi is going to highlight what Rashi doesn't say is what Rabbeinu Chananel says. If you look at Rashi, Dimaskel Bikviyusa Miskapri. So what does he say? He says, they get their kapara kishar hamechaprim shehefrishu achirim alehem shehiknu lehem habehema lekapara. Right? So their kapara is like that of other mechaprim, right, in a world where somebody is makdash a carbon for other people to get kapara, right? That reality where you have an average chatas, right, Reuven is makdash a chatas for Shimon, that is similar to the phenomenon of the Kohen Gadol and the other Kohen. Afkan, Nikna Lahen Chelekbo, Vahavya La Khatas Ashutfin Inyan Tumura. So too here, the Kohen Gadol has been makna a piece of the carbon of the par for the other Kohanim, and therefore it is a Khatas Ashutfin for the purposes of Tumura. Now, if you read this quickly, you'd think that maybe Rashi is saying that the phenomenon of the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol is actually identical to that of, right, a regular case of somebody who's maktash a carbon for someone else to get kapara from it, right? I don't think that's what he says. We'll try to prove that at the end of the chabura. But I think what more accurate way to read Rashi, first of all, kishar meskaprim, it's not actually the same, right? It's a similar phenomenon regarding the world of Tamura. For the purposes of Tamura, you have a parallel situation here of somebody who's being makdish and other beneficiaries getting kapara, and their stake in the karban preventing the makdish from being from Tamura, or preventing the karban from having Tamura done to it at all. Right? It is a chatas hashutfin le'inyan Tamura. It's not a chatas hashutfin. It still is a chatas hayachid, and Rashi recognizes that. But it's a chatas hashutfin le'inyan Tamura. Right? They're able to compete with the Kohen Gadol and prevent him from being Meimir, even though they're not actually Shutvin in the carbon itself. But the Rishon who does say that that Laman Damar Bikfiyusa Miskapri says that actually it's no longer a carbon Yachid, it's a carbon Shutvin, is Rabbeinu Eliakim. Rabbeinu Eliakim says this at the very end of his analysis of his explanation, really, from the analysis of the base. He just looked at the underline, source number two. So when the Gemara there invokes the idea that the Torah has been mafkir the treasury of Aaron HaKohen for the other Kohanim to get a stake in the carbons, we'll see in a little bit. Explains Rav Chananel, v'hainu dekumi ba'i leila il, I mechapri ba'i bikviyusa, v'havi mishal shutin v'lo avid tamura, I bekofi meskapri v'havi carbon yachid v'avid tamura. So when the Gemara invokes this idea of Shani Bei Gaz the Aaron, the Afkir Rachmana, that the Torah has opened up the treasury of the Kohen Gadol for the other Kohen to get a chelak in the carbon. So the question of whether or not that is the case is the same question we had back on Nunma Beis. Is it a carbon of Shutfin, i.e. Bikviyusa Miskapri, right? If it's Bikviyusa, then they're Kobailim, they're Shutfin, and there is no Tamura. Or if the Kapara is Mikufya, so then we're going to say it's a carbon Yachin and there is Tamura, right? So at least according to Rabbeinu Eliakim, we are denying the possibility that you could have kapar bikviyusa along with the reality of carbon yachid, which makes a lot of sense because that's hard to understand, right? If they're co-bailim and they're getting, you know, direct kapara, then what does it mean for it to be a carbon yachid, right? Rabbeinu Eliakim says, Nechanami, no such thing. Other Rishon who says, I think the Meiri reads that way as well. But it's not as it is in real life. The other Rishon who thinks that we're denying the option for Bikviyusa plus Karban Yachid is Rebbe Peretz. If you look at the Rebbe Peretz source number one, so the first Dibur Maskil is something he says that I do not understand, and the second Dibur Maskil is something he says that I do understand. So we'll look at the one that I do understand, and then I'll just reference the one which I don't really know what it means. If you look at the second paragraph, source number one, Omi Kiva, Perish the Miskaprin Bo Kamel Kohen Gadol, the heavy carbon Sibor Ve'ein Mamir, right? So if the Kapara is Bikviyusa, then it's actually a carbon Sibor. The Gemara just started off this whole discussion by saying Laman Damar it's a carbon Yachid. So the parent says, no, V'ha Dekari Le Carbon Yachid Mishrum De Mishalo Huba. We're just calling it a carbon Yachid because it's being purchased by the Kohen Gadol, but as far as the actual, what the carbon is, if the Kapara is Bikviyusa, that's a carbon Sibor. Right? Okay, so we have Rino Yakim who's saying that it's a carbon of Shutfin. We have the Kapara is Bikviyusa, and we have Tosri and Parrot saying that the Kapara is a carbon Sibur. Yeah?
Why would you say that Divrei HaOmer is a carbon Yachid? Everyone agrees it's the financial input into the Kapara Kohen Gadol. Now, it's only bought by the Kohen Gadol's money, not bought by anybody else.
I don't know. Right, does anybody contest the drush of Asher Lo? I don't know. Good point. Okay, good. So maybe there's a piece I don't understand in both paragraphs of Tosfos and Parashat. Good. Because if you look at the first paragraph, this is just, you know, maybe you can explain this to me. So, Iyam Rabbi Shalom HaKarban Sibur Hunicha, Da'afal Gav de Miskapri Bekufya, Afilu Hachi Ein Mamirin de Bekal Malkin Karban Sibur Hu. right? So if you're gonna, if you have no problem, right? If it's a carbon tzibur, then for sure I know that there's no tumura. But there's no, that not a problem. But afal gav de miskapri de kufya. So I don't really understand if it's a carbon tzibur, then how is the kapar of sharkanim coming mikufya? Right? If it belongs to, you know, the institution of kohanim, then I would think that all kohanim are getting kapara. It's not right. Why would a carbon which is belongs to the tzibur of kohanim, the kapara for that still flows through the kohen gadol? Is that true? Like, you know, whenever you'd have, let's say hypothetically there was a par halal davar that was being brought by kohanim, even though, right, would that in that case as well kapara come from kohen gadol and only then go to the rest of kohanim? I didn't understand what that meant. I would have thought it's clear that if it's a carbon tzibur, then they're getting their kapara, b'toras, being part of the tzibur, not being b'toras, the relationship to the kohen gadol. Apparently, the b'toras disagree. Oh. So you're saying I have to ask, also in the second paragraph, what does he do with...
It's the same problem, just reversed. Because he's going, he thinks the shaylo, the kufiyus of the kufiyah, isn't really tolerant what you call it, but really a carbon yafik.
Well,
at least his usage of little terms, carbon yafik, carbon tzibur, and this gemara are not the ones we would use.
Right. Okay, bottom line is for our purposes here, right, is that we clearly do have Rishonim who are trying to avoid this problem of what would it mean for the kapara to be bikviyusa and yet for it to be a carbon yachid. Okay, so let's look just get on record the Gemara and Malchum Beis, and then we'll try to do some pinning down, both of Kfiyusa and of Kufya. The Gemara at the very top is convenient because the Gemara picks up again on the very top of the Amud. Asks the Gemara of a tepukle, the asher lo amar rachmana mishalohu mi. So the question is not clear, is what is this v'tepukle? What question is the Gemara asking when it says, after all, we know that Asher Lo Merachmana, that the Kohen Gadol has to buy the carbon with his own funds. Just to put out there, I think I've seen five different understandings of what this Vatepuk Lay means. Some of them are really interesting, and they're all really interesting, but some I think are more productive for us than others. Rashi says v'tepukle means that we should learn from the fact that the Kohen Gadol has to buy that the Kohen Gadol has to purchase it. That should teach us that the kapara for shar kohanim comes b'kufya, not mikuyusa. Right? That makes a lot of sense because if he's the one laying out the money and he's doing it all by himself, so then he is the bailim and they are not. Now, you could ask on that. Wait a second, right? Why does his purchasing it necessitate them getting indirect kapara, right? Why can't this be parallel to a case of, right, Maktish l'chaveira, right? So Rashi has to think that, at least in the Havamina, the Gemara thinks that, and I think by more, the Gemara thinks that Asher lo amar rachmana is telling me more, right? There's more to this din of the Kohen Gadol buying the par. There's more to that than just he has to be the one to purchase it. Right, the fact that he is the one to purchase it, doesn't that indicate to me that for some reason we want him to have a monopoly on the bialus of the carbon? Right, that we asher lo doesn't just mean he should pay for it, but that he should be the only buyer. Right, that he should not pay for it for everybody else to get co kapar. All right, that's how Rashi reading the tape clay. Tosas read the tape clay also. Very interesting, and we'll come back to this Tosos and try to fit it in, I think, is the general sheet of the Tosos in the Sugya later on. Tosos asks with Tepukle that the other Kohanim get no kapara whatsoever, right? That Asher lo amar rachmana tells me that the Torah wants the Kohen Gadol to alone and only by himself get kapara from the carbon to the exclusion of all others. Cool. Rabbi Eliakim says v'tepukle that it's a carbon yachid and not a carbon tzibur. Right? We should go back to that question and say the fact that the Torah is making a yachid buy it, so doesn't that indicate to us that it's a carbon yachid and not a carbon tzibur? If it's carbon tzibur, right, then I guess I would think that the funds either could or should be provided by the tzibur of kohanim. They shouldn't be mutal on the kohen gadol to pay for it. And the Rashash proposes, and I think this might be the way the Rambam reads the Gemara, as we'll see when we get to the Rambam in a minute, that that maybe the Gemara is actually going back to the old question we had at the very beginning of the Shaka Vataria, when the Gemara asked about par velo b'damo shal par or par b'afilo b'damo shal par. And that the question of can the second Kohen Gadol step in to take over the dam? So maybe that should be resolved by the requirement for the Kohen Gadol to buy the par. Right, that since the Kohen Gadol has to buy the par, so Mela, right, new Kohen Gadol shouldn't be able to come in because it was already bought by the deceased original Kohen Gadol. Maybe that's the question the Gemara is asking. Okay, continues the Gemara, and how exactly to punctuate this, Rashi and Tosfos disagree, so I'm just going to punctuate it like Rashi because it's easier. Right, he has to bring it from his own pocket. Right, maybe he can't bring it from the Truma Salishka because after all, most of the tzibur doesn't get any kapar and lapar, but he can bring it from the treasury of the other kohanim. Tamalomar ashalo, right? No. Right, once again, it must come from him. Right, it can't come from the other kohanim, can't come from the rest of Klal Yisrael. Yachalo yavi v'mhevi kasher. Right, maybe it's not ma'akev that it comes from him. Tamalomar shuv asher lo shana kasav alav la'akev. Right, so we've demonstrated that the Kohen Gadol absolutely must pay for it, and what the Gemara is trying to get at that, right, whether it's proving that the kapara should be mikufya, or whether it's proving that there should be no kapara at all, or whether it's proving that that it's a carbon yachid, or whether it's proving that the new second Kohen Gadol should be out of the picture, that is what we have. Rabbi Nachmanel thinks that it's not a question at all. Rabbi Nachmanel thinks this is just a new Gemara, and the Gemara is just asking, let's discuss this din of actual El Marachman. It's a possibility. The table play is that it's not actually a question. Fine. Responds to Gemara, the time is, Echav HaKonim, Yilav Tukano V'Gavei, Heichi Mechaper Levu. Right? According to your reasoning, if the other Kohanim don't have a kinyan, how can they get any kapara? The Bach sticks in af mikufya, so the Bach thinks that the next line of the Gemara is laman damar bekufya miskapri as well. Okay, hold that in mind. El shani begaz the Aaron, right? The treasury of Aaron is different. Afkir rachmana gabi echav akon, right? That the Torah has been mafkir his treasury for the other kohanim. Right, so even though he has to pay for it, they still can compete and preclude him from tumor. Okay, now Olam Lebach, I haven't found any Rishon who explicitly thinks that this Afkei Rachmana is Laman Damar Bekufya Miskapri as well. In a couple, it's explicit that we're only asking if the Kapara is Bekviusa. And that the assumption is, right, that if their kapara is coming bikufya, then you shouldn't have a problem here. Because why should Ashalo Marachmana, right? I mean, that was Rashi's exact point. Why should Ashalo Marachmana preclude, why should his ownership preclude their kapara bikufya, right? His ownership should only preclude their kapara mikiva, right? Fine. So now I want to talk about first, just to pin down the status of the kohanim if their kapara is coming bikufya, and then after that we'll come back to the question of what is the status of the kohanim if their kapara is coming bikufya. Yeah.
Is Rabbi Nachmanel learning also like that? He brings
he can't because remember he thought that the difference between kufya and kiva was just at what point do they come into the carbon, but by the time shkitas come around, they're certainly in. So
for him, the question is, when do they join? This is showing they must join earlier. And so he gives us only a few words, but then after Ramon is, but he says, good, after Ramon is, that's Ramon enough. Here you see that it's clear. And you see, Kanye, isn't he saying that somebody must have won out? There must be.
Yeah, but I don't think he's starting with any question.
Shmami, you assuming for El Hanano if the timing issue has nothing to do with anything else?
Like level of kapara or manner of kapara?
Right.
Yeah.
Just because it's so striking and he emphasizes it, or do you think that he just thinks that that's symptomatic? I mean, why is it delayed? Why do you think they all move to the last minute? Because it's a different kind of kapara, or it's a different vehicle of kapara.
I mean, it's hard to say, isn't it?
But that's something that's certainly conceivable, right?
Yeah.
Meaning,
why do we have this reality?
Whether it's the level or it's the method or how it works.
Like waiting till the very last moment is a way of highlighting the Kohen Gadol's.
Right. That's through him and his mother, as opposed to. Maybe that's their entry point, because that's what he's doing to be doing. Had it been that they were independent by them earlier, then they would have just been in. Because it's not I got him.
Right. I mean, this is ultimately going back to whether you think that.
I'm saying, but whether it's the level or whether, either way, I'm just saying, at least it's a question to think about. Like, is Rabbeinu Hananel going to be able to sustain the timing element in Kufya and Kiva and all the Gemaras that speak about Kufya and Kiva?
I was wondering about that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, again, I have to look at it, but my suspicion is it'll be very difficult.
Meaning there's a reason why he wants to say what he's saying here?
Right, meaning it's a reflection also of a qualitative difference. But
I guess.
A better way to do that, number one, he thinks linguistically that, you know, that Kufi doesn't mean Safa al Panam, it means, as you say, Miskabates or whatever. And it's also great. It's much less. Abstract, you know, because you're giving it also something more concrete, saying, oh, even the timing is. But it might not be that that's a technicality that's limited to the timing. But it's more likely to fit into to that phrase from the other time where it's used.
Right.
I think it would be very dope to sustain that.
Doesn't
matter,
I don't just have
to figure
something about over here. He never says the word kofi, he says ba'akefa. He's not making any comment about what kofi usually means. Kofi could mean something different.
You're talking about, you mean on none,
right? No.
You mean on none.
He was asking a different question. He was not asking kofi or kufi, that's a totally different question. He's not trying to appear to other places in Shas. They're talking about it's a different shiloh, which is not what he was asking for here.
You think it has something to do with kofi and kufi?
No, that's a separate shiloh, interesting shiloh. And Rabbeinu Hanan's talking about over here. When do they come out and have entry into the pocket? And he said that the Nafkamina is. What happened? Is there a tumor in between? That's all he said.
Right, but are we saying why is that?
No, Beseder, all I'm saying is that if you don't have to try to make this Rabbeinu Hananel understand with every other place in Shas where it says, because he doesn't have that. That's not the phrase in the Gemara that he has.
It's strange, the opposite of
Kibbeh.
Oh,
it's
not
just
that.
What do you do with
Kibbeh? Right, the contract between those.
I don't know.
Pashas is explaining what it is.
Yeah. So, it's a lot more time I thought we'd do this.
And then, if what I'm saying is correct, it would be important, obviously, in a different way, or try to what you're getting to, which is.
Right, that would indicate that the question of ownership and the question of level of kapara are not inherently. Okay. Good. Fine. So, kufya. So,
they're asking whether or not it's appropriate to say can you be got very even to say for even the kufya? Is that what it is talking right now? Is that an appropriate language for kufya? Is it appropriate to say can you be got very?
Right.
Ask questions only one of timing, then that proves nothing. That was
right. It was the timing is like this.
Okay. So if the Kohanim, right, so just to quickly review the major questions that we'll have to come back to, the major question from the Gemara number one we have to refer back to is, once we revive the mandamar that it's a carbon yachid, right, so then what happens to the din of chatash mesu ba'ala, right? Because the Gemara asked that on Nunu and Aleph, and the Gemara explained, oh, right, maybe it's carbon tibur, maybe it's carbon shutfin, and then all of a sudden we bring yachid back in on Nunu and base. So we have to explain what is the story with Misa. Outstanding question number two I have to figure out is if it's, assuming it is in fact a carbon yachid, and yet the kapara is bikfiyusa, so just what does that mean? And how can the kapara be bikfiyusa, but the carbon be a carbon yachid, right? Assuming that kfiyusa means that they're the real co-bailing. Okay, so we'll come back to kfiyusa. The question I want to sell first is the question of, what is the status of the kohanim if their kapara is coming bikufi, right? That their kapara is floating off of, sort of skimming off of the top of the kapara of the kohen gadol. So I think, right, what do we know? We know that if their kapara is bikufi, they're not able to prevent the kohen gadol from making tumur, right? So at least in that regard, right, he is a solitary bailam. The question is, just very simply, do they have a status of bailam at all, right? Are they bailam in the karban on any level? So that could, you know, depend on whether you take the Bach's girsa change in the Alfam days, where he says that right, after Rachmana was even the mandamar that the kapara is coming bekufia. If we assume, which I think seems pretty clear from Moshe Rishonim, that we just take the gemara as we have it. Right, then it certainly is an open question. Right? Do they have any bialis in the carbon or not? So, I think that the best way to highlight this question is machlokas between Tosos and the Rav. This Tosos dir maskel echav on nunav beis. Right, the Gemara here is assuming that if the Shaar Kohanim get their kapar bekufya, so then the Kohen Gadol is uninhibited tmura potential, right? So Tosas asks, well, they have this Gemara in Zvachim Heim Beis, where if you have Yorshin in a Karban, right? So two brothers, Yoresh, their father's Karban. So they are Mechaprim Mei Kufya, and yet it's considered a Karban of Shutfin, and there's no tmura potential. Right? So the very basic question is, right, in one case we have kapara mikufya, so there it's a carbon a yachid, right, and there is tamura, and in Zachim you have kapara mikufya, but they're shutfin, and therefore there's no tamura, right? So what's going on? So you could answer in one of two basic different ways. Tosos takes one, the Rav takes the other, although he's quoted saying in two different ways, one of which I understand more easily than the other, as we'll see. So the answer that Tosos give is, well, the simple difference between the kufya of Yuma and the kufya of Zvachim is whether there is a kiva man in the picture or not, right? In Yuma we have the Kohen Gadol, so it's comparable to the sun and the stars, right? When the sun's in the sky, so the stars exist, you just don't see them, right? So the Kohanim are co-bailim, right? They are miskapri bikufya. But when you have a dominant figure, you have someone who's getting kapara bikviusa, right? So then their kufya cannot prevent him from being maimed, right? Mashenkin and Zachim, there you only have kufyas, right? And so therefore this it's carbon a shutfin, and there's no tamura. What you see from that, it seems to be, though, is, right, that kufya in and of itself would be a bailus on the carbon. Right, because he's calling the yorshin in Zvachim kapara bikufya, and the problem is, right, that they're just blown out of the water by someone else. Right, if we're able to look at them, right, they are stars. Just there's a sun. Right, the Rav goes in the other direction. Right, not that we should blind, you know, keep the kufya where it is, but have the existence of a kliyusa as the turning point, but he says you can't compare the kufya of Yuma to the kufya of Zvachim, right? So he says this in two different ways. One, I understand more easily than the other. So he's quoted one way in the Kuntres, and one way is written in the Yigas Agrit. The Kuntres is less clear, so let's quote that. Let's quote that first. So his main point is that you have Yorshin on a karban, he says, have financial bibles. And the Igros HaGrid, the whole thrust of the first two pages of the piece, it's a 2.5-page piece, the first two pages are to prove that that we consider them, the Yorshim are the financial bialim on the karban, right? The financial, now, how do we distinguish between Zachim and Yuma? So, in the country, he says, look, the Kohanim are also bialim, because after Rachmana Mone Lecha Vakohanim, even Laman the Amar, their kapara is coming Mikufya, right? So even if the kapara is Mikufya, they still have a type of bailos in the carbon, but it's only a bailos for purposes of getting kapara. So you can't compare the full financial bailos of Yorshin to the bailos of Afpe Rachman Mamone, which is there to give them kapara. Now, I don't really understand what that means exactly, to be honest. Like, I get that the mechanism is different. Part of that redounds to the fact that this mechanism of Afgir Yachmana Mamone is difficult. And I think the Gemara doesn't even say Mamone, it's Afgir Yachmana. That's a difficult mechanism to understand what exactly that means. And by the way, it's shocking that there's no makar given, right? The Gemara just like throws in there that Afgir Yachmana. But right, somehow there's a difference between being like if you're a stockholder and you have your class A shareholders and your class B shareholders, right? And you have the shareholders, so everyone owns stock in the company, but there are some ownership that comes with more rights, and there's some ownership that comes with less rights. So that's what the Rav seems to be saying is happening here. The Bekufia, they still have a financial ownership, but that financial ownership was only there to give them kapara, and that is a lesser quality ownership than the ownership than the financial ownership of Yorshin, and therefore Yorshin prevent Tamura, but Shar Kohanim don't. Okay, fine. That's how it is in there. In the Igros, it's much more clear. For one very simple reason, in the Igros, he assumes, like we thought was the Pashas Moster Rishonim, that you only need Afgoy Rachmana if you are a Kviusa man. That if you think the Kapara is Kviusa, then you need to have a stake in the carbon. If you think the Kapara is Kufya, so you don't need to have a stake in the carbon at all. And that seems to be pretty clearly, I think, what the Rambam says in Perakei Halacha Yogimel, which we're going to read very carefully. In a bit. Does anybody have a source, a little packet with a lot of pen on number 4? So I'm just realizing that I wrote up a bunch on that Rambam, but it's not here. So if anybody has a bunch of blue, we could trade. But if you don't see it, you don't have it. Because it was pretty prominently blue. Nope, okay, fine, no worries. So let's look at this Rambam, and then we'll talk about the Rambam for a second. Right, so even though the Kohen Gadol buys it on his own, Shneamar Parachatas Ashelo, right? Ashelo, the drasha from the Nalef Mabez. Nonetheless, Hamakom Hifkir Mamono Bo Lachol Echav Hakohenim Sheilu Lo Hayu Lahen Bo Shutvis Lo Hayu Miskaperin Bo. Right. So if they did not have a partnership in the carbon, they would not be able to get kapara from. So we're going to have to talk what exactly this the shutvis means. But at least I think it means that we're not talking about kufya, right? If they have a stake, and he says they need that stake because they need the shutvis to get kapara, I thought the Rambam was paskening b'kviyusa miskapri, and only l'man damar b'kviyusa miskapri. Do you need Afgare Rahman? So the Rav and the Igros HaGrid thinks the same way, and if that's the case, then he's able to distinguish very easily between Zvachim and Yuma, right? What's interesting in the Kufya of Zvachim, of the Yorshim, and the Kufya of Yuma, of the Kohanim? So the Yorshim are Bailim in the Karvan, right? And in Yuma, they're not. Right? In Yuma, they're not Bailim at all. Their kapara just comes, he says, like Mamela Agav the Kohen Gadol, but they're not financial Bailim, they're not kapara Bailim, they're just beneficiaries of the Kohen Gadol's kapara. So then it's very easy to understand, right? In one case, you have a real carbon yachid, right, with other Kohanim who are able to skim off of his kapara, but it's carbon yachid, and there's Tamura, right? And in the case in Zvachim, That's not at all what's happening, right? They're financial bailim. They're on some level bikufya kapara bailim, and therefore they're not going to have to mourn. Okay, so we walk away, right? With in Tosos, it seems like kufya does consist of some level of bailus, just it's blown out of the water by the Kohen Gadol's kiva, and that's why he's meimir and they're not. Right, and for the Rav, we're saying no, kufya doesn't consist of any bialis at all, and therefore you can't compare the yorshin in Zvachim, mi kufya, who do not have tamura, to the kufya in Yuma, where the Kohen Gadol is able to be meimir. Okay, just a couple of nafkamina between the Rav and Tosafot, which I thought were interesting. It can highlight some of these differences. So one is, this is a funny case. What if you have two shutfin, right? And one of the shutfin dies, right? So one of the shutfin dies and he leaves his karban to Yorshin, right? So I have one of the original bailim of an ola, and I have, the son, right? I have the Yoresh of the other pot. So what do I have here? I have a situation where I have a kiva and I have a kufi.
The son is a moon.
The son, what?
The son, though, is only a moon.
The son is only, the sun is, oh, he's a moon, not a star. Okay, so an assumption there that they're good. Now, but Tosas, at least, are going to have to explain why there should not be tmur in that case. Right? Because it, in some sense, seems parallel, right? I have a dominant bialim, I have a lesser bialim, right? So isn't that comparable to the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen? So we're probably going to say that there's a difference between a star and a moon, right? But for the Rav, you know, this is like not even an issue, right? Because we're not talking about the dominant bialim blowing out the lesser bialim. It's a question of, are there bialim or are there not, right? In Yuma, you don't, kufya is not a bialim, so there's nothing to talk about, right? There you certainly would not say that you can that the surviving shutif can make two more. Okay, two more. One, what about an isser tamura, right? We've established that there's no chalos tamura in a carbon shutfin, right? And there is, right, if it's a carbon yachid. Now, the Rambam paskins that a carbon sibur, even though you cannot affect tamura, there still is a maisa tamura and there still is an isser tamura, right? So if you're a member of the tzibur, so you are, right, you are in one sense an owner of the carbon, and therefore it's aser to be meimir, but if you're meimir, it's not chal. So what if one of the kohanim who's getting kapara mikufya, what if he's maimer around the carbon? So certainly it's not going to work, right? Because as we said, right, the Kohen Gadol can do it, he can't. But is there an isser if he tries? So for the Rav, I think certainly not, right? Because he's not a bialim at all. For Tosos, you can ask, right? It'll be, he's a bialim mikufya, so he's a star. He's blinded by the sun. The sun's able to run roughshod over him and make tamura. But does that eliminate the iser tamura for a kohen hedyot? Does that eliminate the maisa tamura for a kohen hedyot? Maybe you'll say yes, because maybe you'll say that definitionally the ability to create tamura means you have to have a monopoly on maisa tamura. But if you don't think that's the case, then you could say that if the kohanim are mechaper mikufya, that they can still violate tamura even though they can't create it. The Meiri, I think I quoted this Meiri here. Is this at the end of the Meiri at the end of source 3? So he says leman damar that the kapara is bekviyusa. So then there's no chalos tamura, but there is an iser tamura, right? And that we'd expect, right? If the kapara is be kviyusa, then we would expect there to be an option for an iser tamura. I thought that it was Meduik and Meiri that he thought that there would not be an iser tamura if the kapara was mikufya. Now, what the Amiri highlights, and food to think about as we go on, is we're talking about, maybe there is an Isser Tmura if the Kapara is Mikofia. So, something to think about. Are we so sure that there is an Isser Tmura if the Kapara is Mikviyusa? Right? Will it be possible that even though they're Kovailim, that the Kohanim will not have an Isser Tmura? Let's put that on the bandwagon or something, or on the back burner or something to think about. Okay. Yeah. Mordechai, and then after that we'll dig into Kfiyusa. Yeah.
How do we know that there's no Tmura on a Korban or a Korban
Shifts? Yachlifenu, right? Yachlifenu. Isn't Yachli Fenu Lashon Yachli? I think it's a drasha that Yachli Fenu is Lashon Yachli, but I don't remember.
Well, I mean, I'm just depending on how you know that it might affect this.
I think we did Tumur and Gush, Meshon, and Bet, but I think it's a Chiddush of the Rambam that there is Tumur for carbon seed, that there is an extra Tumur for carbon seed board.
Yeah,
Rambam is a distinction.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I was
going to say,
it's not, depends how you read the Gemara, it's in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, if it's because of the Lashon Yachid.
It's a Kudash reading of the whole first, harkening back to our Tumur things.
I think no longer are.
What?
I think it's no longer R.
Well,
unless it's like the corporate entity of the kolos.
But I think since it's a open cult speech, so it's, I guess it allows. Or maybe young.
Okay, so now we turn to what I'm really excited to talk about, which is if it's a carbon yachid, right? So how do we have this conjunction of carbon yachid and kapara mikviyusa? So we got to look at these three Rambams, which will highlight, I think, this part of the solution. It's going to be a two-part solution. The Rambam is it's a blatant stira. It's impressive. So let's read. Right, we have these three. We have the Rambam in Avodah Yom Kippurim, source 4, the Rambam in Maaseh Kabbana, source 5, and the Rambam in Temura, source 6. And parenthetically, they're also put on the Hakdama in the Parashat Mishnayos, but that's not as, at least as blatant problem, as we'll see from these three. So we read Rambam in Avodah Yom Kippurim already, right? But just, we didn't read the whole thing, A, and we should read it more carefully, B. So let's take a look. Says the Rambam, Par Yom Kippurim, Afal Pisha Kohen Gadol Kodem Yishalosh, Nemar Par Chatas HaShalom, right? Kohen Gadol has to pay for it himself. Hamakom Hifkir Mamonovo L'chol Echav HaKohen, right? The Hashem has been mafkir the money to all of the Kohenim. Sheilu lo hayalehen bo shutfis, lo hayim eskaprin bo, right? They need to have a shutfis in order to get kapar, right? Okay, fine. Lefichach, im meis kohen gadol kodem sheyeshachi kapar, right? In the event the kohen gadol dies before the par shechtiv, hakohen sheomei tachtav eino mevi paracher, ela shochi es shel rishon. Ve'eino chata shmesu ba'alea shatamos, She'in chatas harabim mesa. Right, this animal is not going to die because a chatas harabim doesn't die. Shachras a paro mes kodem she'chaper b'damo koina acher nichnas b'dam ze u'mechaper. Right, and if the death happened in the middle of the avoda, then right, so just like the new kohen can step in and take over the live par, so too the new kohen can come in and take over the dam. Okay, so what are we saying? We're saying that it's a chatas. It does not have the din of chatas shemesu ba'aleha because it is comparable, right? Because of the rule of chatas harabim mesa. So we're saying chatas harabim mesa, and we're saying that they have a shutfis ba. Okay, that's Rambam number one. Then we swing over to Maaseh Karbanos Alufav. The Rambam here is categorizing the various karbanos. And Halacha Vav, he tells you all the different types of carbon yachid. The colons I put in here were the Frankel colons. So if you skip to the last colon, third to last line, so after he talks about the Bechor, Maaser, Pesach, Chagiga, right? Ola, etc., etc., etc. Nazir, ta 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 ta. V'chein el ha'olu parachata shemakriv kongalo mishalo b'yom ha'kipurim harehin karban yachid. Right? So they are also karban yachid. Okay, so we've run Rambam calling it a chatan, talking about shutves, talking about chatas arabim, and now we walk into Maaser Kavanos, and he's calling it a karban yachid. Then we go to Tmura, Aleph Yud, and here it's like between those two poles. Elo shel kohen gadol, ose tmura, right? So when it comes to the ayal, kohen gadol is able to be meimer, because it's totally his. Aval paro eino ose tmura, right? He can't make tmura on his par, right? So again, we see the Rambam paskins that the kapara is coming mikviyusa, not mikeva, because there's no tmura. I afal pi shehu mishalo, even though he's the one paying for it single handedly. Ho v'achav a kohanim eskaprin bo harehim bo kishut. Since the other kohanim get kapara, they are comparable to shut, right? So what's going on, right? So in one Rambam we're calling it, we're saying that they have a shutzvis. We're saying that we're going to invoke the din of chatos harabim eina mesa. Move over to Maaser Kavanos, and he says this is a karban yachid. And in Tmura he says it's a karban yachid, but they're kishutzvinbo. Right? So you're happy that they're kishutzvinbo in the sense that you wouldn't want them to be shutzvinbo given Maaser Kavanos. But what exactly does kishutzvinbo mean, right? And he didn't use a kish. In Avodas Yom Kippurim, it's like all one giant problem. If you look at source number 7, so here the Rama says, the Hakdama to Zvachan, where he starts off by saying that there are people who, let alone that they need a Hakdama to the Gemaras of the Mishnayos, there are people who need a Hakdama to the Pesukim. So the whole long Hakdama, and he says, right, there are four categories of Karbanos: Karban Yachid, Karban Tzibur, Carbon tzibur ki'im carbon yachid, and finally carbon yachid ki'im carbon tzibur. And here he has this as the carbon pasach and the parachatas and the ayal. So I was very excited when I saw this, but you can't bring any rayas in any direction from this in and of itself. Just 1 second, Tamar. At least here the Rambam says that this is a carbon yachid, but it's comparable to a carbon tzibur in that it's docha Shabbos and docha tum. So this seems to be kind of reinforcing the categorization of Maaser Kavanos Aleph Vav. Right, we're saying that it is a carbon yachid, and if you were asking, is this indicate like a hybrid status? So you would not have to say yes, because you could just say it's a carbon yachid, which is docha Shabbos and docha tumah.
To what I said at the beginning of the year about this,
right.
I think there is independent evidence. I was quoting this
right.
Lesson there that for Rambam, something which is kabua bizman and therefore is treated like a carbon seaboard, because of that is because it is a hybrid or a carbon.
Okay.
It's not just the characteristics, it's not ignoring the carbon seaboard part and putting an entire weight of the halakha on that. It's that is an indication itself, that it's why is it kavulos ma and therefore docha and whatever. The answer is because it has this in between that korpesach and korskavit and these the power of the ayel, like they're the ones that have this characteristic. Where he talks about, again, that's part of the hutra and zibor, tchuyah and zibor, that whole dialectic where you have different gemaras. Some would sound like everything. Kvius, and some would sound like, including these Gemaras here, in this whole Shakavatari beginning, early, and the first part, earlier part, the first parak. So, depending on that,
uh-huh.
It actually
then,
may be.
Then, in and of itself, could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's K'ein, also, because it is Yachid. That's the whole point of it, itself.
So I'm still technically right that if you just had this.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think the summer shown in, say explicitly, like in the earlier sukkahs, and again repeated in the later sukkahs, that this sounds like a finishing carbon tzibur carbon yachid, but it really has nothing to do with that. It's all a question of kavod lezman, and that's what's in Kobay. I'm saying for the Rambam more particularly, I think this language and some other lashonos that he uses in all of the places indicate that isn't necessarily true. So it is kind of.
Um, Peter, you want to?
Yeah, that's good. So what's the mysterious associated between
all three?
And what?
I have Yom Kippurim on one side, on one pole, where we're saying that there's a shutzvis, and we're saying Chatas Harabim in Amesa, or in Chatas Harabim Mesa. Maisa Gavadis, we're saying it's a Karban Yachid. And then in Temura, we're saying that there's no Temura because they're Kishutvin.
I thought in
Hilchos
Maisa Karbanos, Rambam's not really like entering the fine-grained discussion about Karban Shutvin versus Karban Tzibor.
I'm there just outlining about Kuvim and King Karban Yachim and Karban Tzibor. Right, he's not distinguishing between Karbanos HaTzibor and Karbanos HaShutvin. It's just that's not on his radar screen in those conflicts. I mean, that's just deceptive. I don't know. I mean, Chathas HaRabim. Chathas HaRabim Mesa.
That's what I'm in. Maisa Karbanos is talking about the chilukim between Karbanos HaTzibor and Karbanos Yachid. But he never even discusses like Karbanos HaShutvin.
So you just want to say it's a Karban HaShutvin. Karban HaShutvin is when we talk about Karbanos HaYachid and Maisa Karbanos, that includes Karbanos which are inherently Karban HaShutvin.
Right.
Right. I don't know, do we have any other examples of like a necessary carbon shutzvin that jumps to mind? A carbon that's like a necessary carbon, like it's necessarily a carbon shutzvin.
I don't know, it's interesting, Shaila, this necessarily has to be a more if I know behind a hedge of only a fine
bubble. Then could that be necessary?
It's not in the white yet. It's not in the Bidui and in the
Is he going to bring it if there's no other one? I'm sure.
I think he could. But again, the sheet of C, I don't want to go back to too much.
It's a big finish. It does include all the con, it's just the set of con and the singleton of just the Kohen Gadol.
You mean if he is the whole Kohen?
Right.
So
it's still
the same
about all the con.
Why has he been able to have the Bidui? A new base call of the other card.
It is.
Oh, so then you're just saying conceptually.
I'm saying it's not essentially a carbon shutvin. So I'm saying even if.
Well, it is, because it's just that he is the. He represents himself and he represents. I mean, if you're going to say that for that, then you're going to say it. If you're going to say such a nice conceptual thing, then we're not going to apply it to that. But I think, again, the change. It is an example where it needs to be shutvis, but that's again because of the nature of who he is and why he's the yakin and why he's the one who's the skimmer or that provides the skimming for the tzibor. So that it does have to be that way, but it has to be that way not for not for some extraneous reason, but because that's in the nature of what the carbon and what the sabot does. So if you want to say you do that conception, then I would say go all the way with that. I don't see why you should be selective about it.
It's still decided about it. I'm just pointing out that in Maisa Karbanos, in the first part, I'm just distinguishing between Karbanos Ayachin and Karbanos Tzibor. He's not getting into the more fine grained distinctions of different kinds of shitfos, etc. So if this. I'm not sure it's fair to accuse the Rambam of being closer himself.
Could be. And you'll highlight the fact that the Pesach is in here too.
Yeah. Put it this way, all the other examples that he brings are unconsequential. Right?
I mean, even.
Every other carbon that he brings is a real carbon.
Right. Can you? I mean, I don't want to get sidetracked. Can the chachila? You can. Okay. The chachila. Can you pass and you can check Pesach Halayah?
Yeah.
Not supposed to, right? Okay. So. yeah. I mean, I think it's at minimum it's vague. And B, you still have the fact that Temura seems like it's in between the two, right? Temura is not a carbon copy of Yom Kippur,
right?
Right,
for sure.
So we need to explain what's going on. So I think we're gonna have to say two things. One is clear from most of the Rambam, and then there's a second piece which I think is referenced in one piece in the Rambam, we'll see more of it in Tosfos. We're gonna have to explain how even though the other Kohanim have a Kobaylus, so number one, we're gonna have to explain how that's a lower level, and I'll try to explain that more sharply than just say that they're a lower level Bible. We'll try to pin that down. And we're also, I think, going to have to say that the Kohen Gadol has a higher level of Bilus than a normal Bilus on a carbon. And we'll highlight that too. But in the Rambam, mostly, the way to solve, I think, these problems is to explain that even though the other Kohanim are Bilim, the best way to put it, I think, is that you have your essential Bilim and you have your satellite Bilim. Now, what illustrates this, right, when we learned Zvachim in the Kolo with Rosenblum, right? That was still there. Okay, good. All right. So Rosenzweig showed how for the Rambam, Shinoi Kodesh and Shinoi Bailim really are kind of two sides of the same coin. A lot of the dinim are parallel, and in fact, he makes up a name that includes the two of them, which is Shino Hashem. Right, the Shino Hashem is both Shino Kodesh and Shino Bailam are Shino Hashem, and the reason for this is because what you're a carbon. So, what is inherent to the shame of a carbon in general? Not only the fact that it is an ola, it is an shlamin, it is a chatas, but who the Bailam are is also one of the defining essential internal features of a carbon. Right, it's not just an ola, it's Ruvain's ola. It's not just a shlamim, it's Ruvain's shlamim, it's Ruvain's chatas. Right, so when you chine kodesh, you're changing the ola chatas side of the coin. When it comes to chine bailim, you're changing the Ruvain side of the coin. Both of those are attacking the internal essential shame of the carbon itself. I think we can say for what you have here, the kapar b'kviyusa, right? And we're wondering, what does it mean for the kohen gadol to be a carbon yachid with kol bailim? So, part of how to frame it is you have your essential bailim, and that's the kohen gadol, right? And you have your satellite bailim, the other kohenim, whose bailus is not internal to the carbon. You don't call this, right, the par kohen gadol ushar kohenim. It's the par kohen gadol, and the rest of the kohenim, right, have a piece in it, right? Which will explain a few things that I'll talk about in a second. But if we take that model, right, that you have your essential bialim, and as of right now, we're just saying that the Kohen Gadol is comparable to bialim in any other carbon, right? We're not saying more than that yet. But that's just to highlight that the Shaar Kohenim are not in the shame of the carbon. They have a state, but they're satellite bialim, right? Afkir Rachamana Mamone. So that's going to explain why fundamentally, in fact, it is a carbon yachid, right? And that's why when he's categorizing in Maaser Kabanos, he calls it a carbon yachid. He can't call them shutfin because they're not. It's not fair to call them shutfin. They're not equal partners, right? They're not partners in the carbon. They're kishutfin. What does kishutfin mean? They're bialim on a lower level. Right, it's a carbon. It's his. It's carbon yachid mishalohu mevi. But right, they're kishutfin. But being kishutfin, being satellite bialim, is enough to compete and prevent tamura from happening. Right, it's not enough to get you in the carbon. It's not enough to change its definition to be the carbon of a carbon zibur, a carbon shutfin. It is a carbon yachid that they have that they are kishutfin. Right, they have their ownership. Allows them to compete, but they're still not the essential bialim. Now, with that approach, let's look at Heyo Gimel one more time. So says the Rambam again. Parim Kippurim, Ava Bishakon Gadol, Kone Mishalosh. Nemar Parachatas Asher Lo. Right, he's laying out Hamakom Hifkir Mamono Bo Lachol Achavakon. Right, we have this bizarre mechanism. The Torah has been mafkir his money to the rest of the Kohanim. Come back to that in a second, because I think there's one key line in here. Lafichah chames kohen gadol kodem shishachid apar. Right, since they are you know, since they have a toehold, right, in the carbon, they have a financial toehold, they have a bilis toehold, so that's enough that in mace kohen gadol, kol b'shachet apar, a kohen shamitachtav, eno maybe parachter, ela shochet es sharisha, right? So having a toehold is enough to allow you to come in once you become the kohen gadol anew, right? Because you were a bilim before, and being a bilim before is enough to allow you to come into it now and be the mevi after the death of the kohen gadol. And then read this very carefully. Now, what does the Rambam say here? What does the Rambam not say here? The Rambam does say here is that this chatas is not considered a chatas shmesu. This chatas does not die. Right? You don't let this chatas die because of the halacha that ein chatas harabim mesa. The Rambam never actually calls it a chatas harabim, right? He says this chatas is eino chatas shemesu ba'ala shatamus, based on the principle of ein chatas harabim mesa. The same din of ein chatas harabim mesa that you have generally, you also have in our case, thanks to these satellite bilim. Right, being kobilim is being a satellite bilim is enough to get you out of to compete and prevent tumura. And it's also enough to come into the karban, right, and save it from being a chatas shatamas. But it's not. I think he's being very careful to never call them, right? He says they have a shutzfis, but he never calls them shutzfin, right? And remember, he goes out of his way, he says they're kish shutzfin. And it has dinim of chatas harabim, she'ina mesa, but it's actually called a chatas harabim. I think what he's saying again is that they are there. You have the essential bialim, the kohen gadol. You have the satellite bialim, the kohanim shar kohanim. Being satellite bialim competes with for tamura. Being satellite bialim is enough. They come into the carbon subsequently, but it is not enough to call it anything but a carbon yachid. So that's going to be part of our model of carbon yachid shemiskapri bo big fiyusa. Yeah.
What about
So we still, at this point, just to highlight the echav akonim, at this point, I'm just calling him standard bialim on a carbon. But I'm just calling gadol generally. Sorry, I'm calling the original kohen gadol standard bialim on a carbon. I understand. So, but we're not going to be able to answer that until we drill down the bialim kohen gadol one. And I think it's going to be important. It seems like it's identical to kohen gadol one, I think.
Even though it's matched
up. Right. Which, is, for now, seems a little odd, I guess, but I think we'll explain why. Yeah?
I was going to ask essentially the same thing. I think I was going to ask whether or not the second coin gobble can make the Torah. Meaning, what's the level of bylaws that the second coin gobble has? Can he make a Torah?
Well, the first coin gobble can. The first coin gobble can make a
Torah. Sorry, I was basically trying to figure out the same thing. Is the second kohen gadol going to have the same status as the first one? Or is he going to still have only satellite bialim status? Which is basically boils down to the second.
Right, since it's not
it wasn't
Asher Lo.
Do you say after? Does he like Yarshin the full koach from the full bialim from the first kohen gadol? Or is this no, he remains satellite bialim, he still has whatever after
So let me say in English and say if my translation is an exact translation. It is not a chatas whose owners die that it should die, because a chatas harabim doesn't die. So if I was him, I would have just said, "Eino chatas."
General rule.
I mean, you're saying that I could read this Rambam as calling it a chatas harabim, but I'm saying that you don't. But I'm saying you don't. I'm just saying you don't have to. He doesn't have to be saying that this is a chatas harabim, right? So if you're going to highlight that as being the problematic phrase,
yeah, but then you have to steer it.
Exactly. So in light of. Right, but you're not shying away from the problem. You're dragging me back to the problem. But what? Chas v'shalom. No, he's with me.
Well, again, Hirshim Shai is his lane. Okay, and I think at the end of the day, the question is, what is Kobeya also for the din that Katas, Hatzibur doesn't have a din of Mesa Malah? Does it really need to be a Katas Hatzibur, or does it just need some sort of Tzibur for Emshe? So that's not a car. That's not a classical or exclusively right a Karban Yachid. Right. Another way to get out of the problem is that the din of Katas Hatzibur, Legabe Katas Tzibur, doesn't need to be an exclusive or even a full Kalos Katas Hatzibur. It just needs not to be a Chatas Yachid, which this is not at any level. I'm not troubled by.
I mean, it's saying it's not a Chatas
as it happened anyway. That's not
right.
So. And Pierce says Cain, and I just happen to think the whole thing is a hybrid thing because of the nature of the Kohen Gadol. I think it also affects the substitute Kohen. I agree with you on the substitute Kohen Gadol, but we'll develop it how you develop it. But all I'm saying is, at the end of the day, the din of Chatas Hatzibur not being subject to Chatas Meis, Shemeis, Balaha, that itself doesn't have to be a din in Chatas Hatzibur. Right? The soda of it really is that there's, the idea of Chatas Shemeis and Balaha is that there's only one Bailin, and therefore there's no Bailin. And anything that, that extricates you from that, even if it isn't a classical or an exclusive Chatas Hatzibur, is going to have the din of Chatas Hatzibur. Now, you're trying very hard to say that the words Chatas Hatzibur here are not in quotation marks.
So,
it's from the din of Chatas Hatzibur, we're applying this halacha. I'm just saying, right? Your objection is, but he doesn't say that. He doesn't say ke. What I'm saying is, who says that the din of Chatas Hatzibur, itself is a din of Chatas Hatzibur? That itself may be, that any probably is. That any time there is more than one violin, such that you're not bereft of you're not completely minutak from the original makriv or the original balakorban, there's no problem.
Right. So given,
so then you can get your benefit, which is you don't have to say it's a cold katas on seymour, right? But you don't have to worry even if you are worried about that nicety in language, you don't have to worry about it because that's for the din of katas on seymour. Shemesa, that it continues. For that din, it doesn't need to be only a Chatas Hatzibur or even fully a Chatas Hatzibur. It's sufficient that you have what you have.
Here. Right. And it doesn't call it.
Right. Rashi and Dafnun at least says that the way we know that a Chatas Hatzibur is a Mesa is because of the din of Tmura. I mean, the din of Chamesh Chatas and Mesa is also Moshe Sinai. They're all only talking about the cases. Chamesh Chatas and Mesa is only in case that can apply to all five. And since there can't be a tmura on a chatas tzibur, so there can't be a chatas shmesi bala on a korban tzibur. Right? That's essentially how Rashi says it. So any case where there's no tmura, because of a shutfis, also won't have the din of chatas shmesi bala.
Right, that's clear.
We're not saying that the no tmura is the go-rain. Even according to the way that I'm setting it up, it still is. In one sense, a carbon yachid, and in one sense,
yeah,
right, exactly.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, I don't need it. The only reason, I thought of this read recently. The only advantage I thought that it has is just because it's just misleading. It's misleading to me when I first read the Rama.
If you take the words yachid, and if you assume that kata tzibor in that context means dafka tzibor.
Right. So I wanted to read it in a way where not only is there no conceptual steer, but like that he's not even.
Right. Because I think there's no, that's not the din of kata tzibor. I don't think you need that. Mm-hmm. You can still say what you're saying 100% in terms of what you're trying to say about this particular call.
I've big finish to help you out.
Awesome.
Okay. So maybe you could read the Rambam as saying that after the Kohen Gadol dies, so then it becomes a Chatas Harabim. So long as he's the prime Mechaber, so of course it's his carbon, the other Kohenim are only Mikufia, but then once he dies, it's a Chatas Harabim,
uh-huh.
Because all Achava Kohenim are like equal.
So you're killing two birds. You're killing two birds with one stone because you're.
It's full carbon yachid.
You're answering Rabbi Blau's question while.
It's not a. Right.
Yeah, we still have to explain why.
Enk has rules.
Well,
you
know,
because Enk has rab in meso because you don't have a miso when there's more than one bag.
No, but then you get into the problem.
And you don't have
good.
Miso,
but then we get.
Not the
right.
But not the din of.
Right, but doesn't, you're missing the words.
Having a variety of rabbis.
No, but after
the Rambam can't throw it, it's not one bite.
Noach is pointing out that it is like an afterthought in the Rambam.
No, why is it an aftermath? It only comes in here once.
So I explain, but why is it a chatas harabim? Why isn't the Kohen Gadol mechaber? The band is that, no, once he dies, then it just becomes a chatas harabim because all you have left is like an equal bible of all the Kohen.
Including the new Kohen Gadol even?
Yes,
so again, I don't want to belabor the thing, but I agree with that. I don't think. No, what I would say, that's what he's emphasizing that only now, but I would say it doesn't get created now. It's there waiting in the wings to begin with, for the same reason that the second Kohen can take the place of the first Kohen, because, and again, I'll just, the not belaboring goes back to the other comparison, which again, they've heard. Which is Minchas Chavitin, right? Minchas Chavitin is his personal karban, and then if he dies, then the tzibor has to bring the Minchas Chavitin, right? And it becomes, it was always really omed, you know, to be replaced or to be brought, even if he couldn't bring it by the tzibor. And the reason, that's what happens here also. So that's like always waiting in the wings, is that, I think the bigger reason for all of that is because this is, and that's what I think what Pir Shimshai is saying, this is only his korban yachid because of who he is for the tzibor. It's not because he happens to be a guy who happens to be. It's because of what a Kohen Gadol is, and it's because of what Yom Kippur is, which is the shiluv of he as an individual achieving a certain status and therefore being the one, you know, all Kali Saul's riding on his coattails. So his Korban Yachid, his Yachid status is as a Yachid Zedekah. It's only the Kohen, God, he's not just a Shliach. But it's not him personally, you know, it's him, you know, because of the Tzibur's need for that kind of a person in the hierarchy. So it's a Korban Yachid, which is Kehim Tzibur. It's like the Minchas Chavitin. His replacement Kohen Gadol isn't just going to be the Minkufia from the rest of them, because that's already built in. He's a yachid, but Betorah's Kohen Gadol. So the second Betorah's Kohen Gadol, even though financial didn't come out of his bank account, is still going to be able to step in there, and it's not going to just be, you know, Kofia. And then maybe you're right, that I like it, that's why only after that the Rambam mentioned, okay, it only becomes an issue then, but it's almost like a, because that's the Tzibor part. The Tzibor part that is lurking all the time, even when we're focusing mostly on him as a yachid, is for that very reason. So that's why maybe like bring all together the parts. So again, I think it fits into what you're saying. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just a few things to highlight, either Raya's or not. Yeah.
Sorry, on a little bit of a point. What defines something as being a Korban Yachid versus what the Tzibor? Is it just the money? Who shells out the money initially?
Well, no, not at all. Who shells out the money? I mean, Makdish, I mean, Miskaper is Nikra Bailam generally.
Remember the Kohen Gadol, you don't want him to shell out the money to give him this.
Aaron has to be the one to pay.
Right. Are you asking in general? Or
no, I mean, yes, but I think that may also be a possible meaning for the Rambam as well. In other words, if all the Rambam means when he says that something's a korban, when the Rambam defines something as a korban yachid or a korban tzibur, he may just be referring to who pays the money. And if that's true, so then when you come to the Rambam, he'll say, Yom Kippur, he says, Par Yom Kippur, even though the Kohen Gadol's Kona Mishalo, meaning it should have been a korban yachid, or it is a korban yachid because he's the one who's paying for it, but since there's the Afgir Yachmana, so that doesn't make it not a korban yachid. A korban yachid means the yachid had to pay for it. Kohen Gadol isn't not shelling out the cash just because the Torah, after he bought the korban, posts back to his mezakeh achelek or to all the other kohanim. It doesn't mean that he wasn't the one who shelled out the cash. He still had to be mechaser amono for the korban. So if all korban yachid means is he's the one who paid the money, so yes, it's a korban yachid from that standpoint. But from the perspective of let's say tura or the din of chatas shemisa ve'aleha, so that's talayel on who the current bialim are, who the current owners are. Current owners don't have to be the ones who bought it. And the Torah was mafkir or whatever, but they're not the ones who paid for it. They got it for free, so to speak.
Same
question
in parents. Right at the beginning. Like the
parents.
Because it's not really
carbon
yachid, means he paid for it. Is
this
what you're saying?
I guess so. In which case, I mean, you know, the reason why the Rambam would say it's not chatas shemis ve'aleha is because it's a korban shutfin or kishut. I'm not sure. I still don't know what to do with the kishutfin versus shutfin, but if you it does solve the major the polar issue of like he's calling it a korban yachid and instead Shane's calling it a korban shutfin. He says yeah, because korban yachid just means being kona with his damen, and then in terms of well, the owners are okay. So that the Torah already was mafkir a chelik of it after to his fellow kohanim when he makes the kit. I don't know when he purchased it, when he's makdish it, whatever the. I don't know when exactly that happens, but whenever that point is, then it becomes owned by everyone.
I mean, some of this comes back to the Rambam I didn't put on here, wherein the makdish versus meskaper general distinction, where the Rambam is more impressed by the meskaper as a bialim than as a makdish. So to call someone.
I'm not saying they're not bialim. Meaning, it is a.
No, but you're putting the emphasis on the opposite point.
It is true that the din of tamura and the din of
I would think that the Rambam would never call something a carbon yachid based on who buys it.
Why not?
Because the bialim is the meskaper.
Do we see somewhere that the Rambam thinks that whether something is defined as a korban yachid or a korban tzibur is probably on the shame korban yachid or shame korban tzibur as it's used in the Rambam is specifically, that's why I prefaced what I was saying with what makes something a korban yachid. Is it all the nafkamina of like tumura, etc., or is what makes it a korban yachid essentially
what makes it a whatever is who the bialim are, right?
That's crazy. I'm saying I don't know. How do we know that with the Rambam? If you have, we have a riot, and that's. I'm not saying it's for sure push it like this. I'm just saying maybe it would be a solution to the problem is if korban yachid just means who paid.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm just gonna. I don't.
You're welcome to say you don't like.
I don't. Yeah. You have a kishutfin problem, and I don't like it. But,
but not because that sort of makes always a yachid. That's what makes this a yachid.
This is really not 100% yachid. It's only yachid with respect to pays for it. Mishalo, yes, it's going to be called a korban yachid. But in essence, in terms of mechaper and tamura and hatamid of alet, it's actually much bigger than that. The yachid is to remind us it's not a yachid. It's only legabe mishalo.
Or that you need to, again, it's a hybrid, because it's part of the Seder Avodah Yom Kippur for Kal Yisrael. And Kohen Gadol's role is this role, you know, as whatever. And therefore, you have to do these things at the same time. So the way you do it, the yachid part, even though the tzibur part is so obvious, you're being nichnas l'fnai v'lifnim for Klal Yisrael. You're with your korban yachid. You have to pay this time. Typically, you don't have to pay. You have to pay here. There are things you have to do on both sides to establish that's, you wouldn't have to, if this was a classic Corbin Seaborg, that things you wouldn't have to do to advertise Seaborg advertising. If this is a classic Corbin copy, then that things you wouldn't have to do, including the one who purchases it, to whatever. Because it's a hybrid of both, because there's this whole thing going on, therefore there are the chudash elements that you need to do for both. And by the way, that
wouldn't it be better?
It's interesting that the Rambam is
this hybrid. Wouldn't it, if you wanted to highlight that here, say it in Helpos of Ozu Kippur, why in
Mesopotamus? He's saying it in both places. Why shouldn't you say it in both? He says in Pirush Mishnayos too. By the way, in the fact that he adds, I don't know if you made this diuk or not, but in both in Baisa Karbonos and in Pirush Mishnayos, he adds the role that the Karbon plays, you know, for Klal Yisrael. Like, he doesn't have to do that either. Right? He says, Chen Ayel Ha'ola, Upar Achata Shemak, and Kohen Gadol Mishalo, Yom Kippur, Marin Korban Yachin. He says, Upar Zeh Hu Anikra Par Yom Kippur. Like, why does he add that? It's right. And in Pirush Mishnayos, he does exactly the same thing. Right? He says, Pirush Mishnayos?
Source 7, top page.
Top one, right?
Yeah.
Parze nikra par yom kippurim, v'hu shabo nemar b'zos yavo aron el hakodesh, u'kvar nizbar seder adavar b'yoma, u'mafurish b'torah sreifas parze. All those words are extra if all he's trying to do is catalog, you know, something and say it's, you know, this kind of part. What he's really trying to say in both places is that this is a completely unique korban. It has to have both of these elements accentuated, because that's really what's happening here. Is this unbelievable thing on behalf of Klal Yisrael, but where vicariously it's all going through this one person. So, you know, this Yachid, you know, which is Cain Seabor, is, you should know what it is, you know, what it's accomplishing. So that's why I think the Bible's part, right, is also a way of, like, you know, reinforcing that. I mean, the Bible is through Mahir, through ESV, the one to buy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, typically, that's not, somebody could donate a car from you. They could moderate it, what do you call it, your name.
But in the Parish Mishnayos, the Ge'en Tzibur by Hebrew of the Isle, which doesn't make up right now.
Yeah, again, that goes. The first one,
got command,
possibility of being
the other thing.
I think there's some aspects of the same, and also the emphasis.
Yeah,
it needs to be a little different, and also they're brought in different parts of the Sefer HaYom.
Even that's used for the two
guys. Even that's used to do this. To, yeah.
Okay. Well, there one more piece that I want to say in that round in Parakeh, but we'll do that in 1 second. So just to nail down a couple of proofs and a couple of, I think, interesting nafkamina to this idea of Bailim, satellite Bailim, before we talk about what exactly is going on with the Bailim. Right, what's going on with the Kohen Gadol exactly. But, so number one, if the essential Bailim is the Kohen Gadol and the satellite Bailim only are the Shaar Kohanim, so that would explain why the, right, we have this din of the Bailim that the Kohen Gadol has to be Somi. Right, but usually when you have multiple bialim, so multiple bialim are somich on a carbon, right? So why is the Kohen Gadol the only bialim who's doing smicha, right? So the easy explanation would be that he's the only essential bialim on this carbon, right? Who says that satellite bialim have a din of smicha, right? You can, maybe it's only essential bialim who have a din of smicha. And that also is going to explain why we have this fascinating mechanism of afkei rachman umone, like why. Why is it set up like that? Why not just have the Kohen Gadol makdish for everybody to get a piece, right? Like what Rashi referenced on Dafna. Not what Rashi said, but what Rashi referenced on Dafna, right? So again, the answer could be, if we're trying to pull off this like calibration where you have the essential bialim to the shame carbon, and then you have the people who have a toehold, but it's not the carbon of Shaar Kohanim, it's only the carbon of Aaron, right? So that model doesn't exist when you have makdish for other people. Right? When you're makdish for shutvin, so everybody are shutvin in the carbon, right? If you want to get this discrepancy, that's why we have to have this new model of afkei rachman umone, and you can't just have a mitzvah for the Kohen Gadol to be makdash for everybody else. Just like he says vidui for everybody else, he should makdash for everybody else. A couple of cool nafmina for this could be, one, I looked and looked and I couldn't find anybody who found this, and we thought that mechaschinuch would be our go-to, but didn't come through for us on this one, is we could just ask a very simple shinu bailum question, which is going to be, right, if what I'm saying is correct, then in the event that the Kohen does the Avodah, L'shem himself, and along with the Kapara V'achav HaKohanim, he's going to have L'shem other Yisraelim to get Kapara Mikviusa, that's not going to be a Shinei Bailam problem, right, according to what we're saying, because you're not mounting an attack on the essential Shem Karban. You're having people in mind to get Kapara who shouldn't be there, but you're not actually attacking the Karban, and therefore there shouldn't be a Shinei Bailam problem. But I couldn't find anybody to talk about Shinei Bailam in Park and Gadol, which is kind of shocking to me. I looked in Park Kohen Mashiach. I thought there maybe we'd see a discussion, but nothing at all on Shinei Bailam. But I think that would be one nafkamina to consider. One more that we were talking about right before Chabura is if we could have Zevach Hashem Taweva considerations. So I could talk about this in one of two cases. One where I just don't have information. And that is, what if you have shutfin in a karban, and one of the shutfin is a mumer, right? So do you have a problem there of zevach hashem toeva or not? So I have to do some homework on that because I still don't have a firm answer. If we just postulate for now that you have a problem of zevach hashem toeva if one of your shutfin is a mumer, so then we can propose that is why. Well, take a step backwards. If you remember in the first parak, the Gemara, I think it was Daf Yud Ches, right? Where the Gemara is talking about the practice. Yeah, the practice that the Kohen Gadol is doing for the rest of the Avodah of the Yom, right? And he does practice on all of the Karbanos, except he does not do practice on the for the Sayyid. Asks the Gemara, why does he do practice? Why does he practice the other karbanos? He doesn't practice the sire. So the answer is that if he practices the sire, it'll occur to him that maybe some of Klal Yisrael are not doing tshuva, and he's going to get very depressed, and that's going to be a problem, right? And the Gemara asks, well, you know, he's going to get depressed about potential people not doing tshuva for the sire mishaleach. He should also get depressed about other kohanim not doing tshuva when he brings the par. Right, and the answer was no. Right, he knows all the other kohanim on a first name basis. Right, and for sure, if one of the kohanim was a serious sinner, the Kohen Gadol would be aware and would give him a good rishus shmuz to make sure that all the other kohanim are on board. Okay, but the Gemara there thinks that the only problem is that the Kohen Gadol is going to be depressed. There's no problem of zevach hashem toeva access if one of the shar kohanim is up to no good before Yom Kippur. And by up to no good, I mean he's a bummer. Right, so if we posit that zevach hashem toeva for shutfin, you do have a problem, and we assume, which I think is pretty clear, that in the par you do not have a problem for echav akonim, then again we can explain this very nicely, right? Because echav akonim, even though they are kobailim as satellite bailim only, who aren't inherent in the shame carbon itself, they're not able to postulate me then zevach hashem toeva. Now, even if we say that carbon shutfin, you do not have a problem of zevach hashem toeva if one of them is a mummer. So we could ask, we could make a different point, which is, you know, let's say the Kohen Gadol is a mummer, right? Which as Moshe and I like to talk about, as we've learned Limud, is unfortunately not so inconceivable to have one of those stuki kohanim who are running around the Beis HaMikdash at points. So if you have a Kohen Gadol who's a mummer, right? So will that possible carbon mishum zevach hashem toeva? So I can instinctively, I think we'd want to say, yeah. Like, how could the par Kohen Gadol be okay if the Kohen Gadol himself is a mummer? And then we could explain, right, that the reason why his status is a problem, while the status of echav akonim is not, right, is because he's the essential bialim. And the rest of them are satellites, right? So we could question, right? If there's a problem of if one shutif is a problem, then we could explain why echav akonim we don't worry is because of is because they're satellites, and regardless we'll say that he's a problem because he's the only bialim running the show. Okay, anyone? Anyway, yeah.
If it was possible though, then what would it help for them to be mashabir the Kohen Gadol? They shouldn't be mashan to be called the Rosh Hashanah.
it still won't help. If he's got the Mulin Tadeus problem,
if the Kohen Gadol has the Mulin Tadeus
problem? There must be the Kohen Gadol so that he shouldn't be Mishado Torahs. But there's a bigger problem, which is that the other Avodah Seyam are also going to be Nifsal because he's a you have to get his Mulin Tadeus, you have to straighten those out too. So, unless you say it's just a Chashash Ba'alma, you don't actually know he's a Tzuki. For a Chashash Ba'alma, so you don't have to be Hoshish for Zarah for Shoran Goyim, but then you figure out why Torahs. Because then he's going to be Mishana, the actual Seder, like he's actually going to be Mishana, like why would you be Mechalik between the two? And if you say that you're Hoshish for what, like why wouldn't you be Hoshish for both?
So are you saying that we shouldn't be concerned that he's a Mummer, or are you saying that his being a Mummer shouldn't pass his carbon?
I was going to say that the Chori should say that it's not going to pass his carbon. Because if it would pass his carbon, why aren't they Hoshish for it? Then it's going to ruin the rest of the Seder of the
Again, I think you were more like speaking in Melitza. It's not so clear that being a Tzaduki, which is not a good thing, by the way, that's Zevach Rishon Teva. That's the classical case of Zevach Rishon Teva. We were talking before.
Yeah.
Is Mumer Levod Azara and Mumer Lechalos Hashabbos and a Mumer Laosa Dover that you're being Makar Bekarbon.
Couldn't care less about Thomas McDonald.
It's not clear that this is. What?
Wouldn't that be Makar Mandido and Rama?
Would that be enough to make you or legabe zeh rishon ta'eva? It's not clear. And the Rambam only mentions it in, I don't think it's so clear, in Baisa Karbonos and in Shkagos. Those are two places that he mentions it, based on the Gemaras and Kulin and Oreos and so on. And the cases that he brings are Momar L'chalas HaShabbos, Momar L'avod Azara. Technically, he doesn't say the other status of Apikaros and Ben. So it's an interesting question. Again, we have to check the skin up on that, right? It's not so clear. Because otherwise, it is a very interesting issue, considering. Right. And your question.
I took it literally. If you mentioned it just in Lisa, have somebody who was a.
You could have a rotten coin, but you could have a.
He was trying to say that you have Tzedukim around, so you can have. That's an interesting question, but it's not so clear. Of course, in the Gemara and in the Rambam, not clear. It's not. Yeah. It's not. It has to be. What?
Yeah.
So you have to be a Mumer L'chol Torah Kula as a result of being, L'chalos HaShabbos. It's still a Hechad Timtzum.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the Hechad Timtzum.
And we also just had a round joke of here. Fat and lazy and corrupt and stealing all the oros. Yeah, okay. Now, to move forward to the next major point, which is not just, right, we've established how we can understand, right, when we were asking Kviyusa plus carbon yachted, we have a model for how that can work, right? We have our essential bilum and our satellite bilum. But all we've done so far is to have the Kohen Gadol in his essential status be comparable to any other bilum on a carbon, right? What we're trying to prove now is that we have to take that one step further. I think there's one line in the Rambam here which highlights that, and then we'll see Tosos really driving it home, and a couple of Nafmina, and then we'll wrap up. One last point to make in this Rambam in Hei Yogimel, which we've been working on so much, and yet I still don't know about that. Let's look at these first two lines one more time. Why? Why do we need this mechanism of Hamakum Hifkir Mamono Bo L'cholachav HaKohanim? She'ilu lo hayu lahen bo shutfis, lo hayu miskaprin bo. Without a financial toehold, right, without a shutfis, without Hifkir Mamono, they couldn't get any kapara. So what question we should ask is, that does not have to be the case. They absolutely could have gotten kapara. They could have gotten kapara mikufya, right? Why are we assuming that they couldn't get kapara at all without a financial toehold Why can't they get Kaparmi Kufya? That was a possibility that was raised seriously in the Gemara. It's unclear if it was ever disraised, right? So having that as your proof just doesn't seem to hold. And I think what Naram is really saying is that once we have this din of Asher Lug, right, that it's not just that he has to buy it, but that right, we have this shana l'bakas of la'akev, this unique halacha that he has to be the one. It's the asher lo, the kohen gadol has to do it. So that would preclude anyone else, right? He would asher lo would mean he has a monopoly, unless other people could point to a concrete piece in the carbon that they have. In other words, since he's more than just a bialim, they have to have a toehold in order for them to be any bialim, right? They can't be mikufya because he's asher lo. What does it mean they can't be mikufya because he's asher lo? His carbon and their kavara is mikufya. If we say that he's more than just a bialim, and asher lo, right, the need for the kohen gadol to be the one to purchase it from his own money, which right, don't think we have other examples of, right, that's going to preclude anyone else. He naturally would push anybody else out of the karban, unless you have this corrective of hifker b'mamon l'cholach b'gar. So the Rambam, I think, has a hint that. In this piece, that the Kohen Gadol is more than just the Bailim, and that's coming from Asher Lo, and that would push out anyone else, if not for the fact that they have a toehold. Now, in Tosos, this is much more easy to document than it is before. We have this in a few places, but the most dramatic one, right? Which I don't know if everyone's got the fifth parak, but hopefully everyone's got Tadaf Membeis in the fourth parak, right? Where we had the machlokas whether you require the shechita for paro or para, right? And the possibility that you'd need the kohen gadol to shecht the par kohen gadol, right? Why is that the case? So Tosos on the bottom of Membeis Mid Aleph quote the re klitzon. I think it's how it's pronounced. Apparently, is also Rabbi Yossi Fischer Shalim. I didn't realize they're the same. They're the same person. And next time I talk to Avigdor, I have to tell him about what I learned about Klitzon when I looked this up. So he would like it. So what does the Re Klitzon say? He says the reason why you have to shacht, why the Kohen Gadol has to shacht the par, is not because what maybe you'd think when you read the Gemara by yourself that it's just because of the regular din of Kohen Gadol doing the Avoda. He says, no, you need the Kohen Gadol. It's a din in the Bailim, right? For some reason, the Bailim have to shecht the power of Kohen Gadol. Amar li mori v'rabi, I do not have this in the Makar sheets because I assume people brought Gemaras. It's the first wide line on Membeis Mid Aleph in the Tosos. Amar li mori harab v'shmul v'shlom v'shem rabbi Yosef kvetzon, that's all. T'mehasam leik l'mifrach, t'hasam labi shem d'avodehi, d'hap. Sula afilu b'sharkanim, el kohen gadol chude el galir rachmana de beinan bailim, midi dehav asmicha de lav avodehi de beinan bailim. Right, that we're saying that just like smicha is a din in the bailim, so too the shechita of the par requires bailim. Now, that right, I think has to assume that there's a stronger connection between the bialim and his karban in the par of the kohen gadol than there is elsewhere, right? Why do we have this unique din that the bialim have to do the shechita, which we don't have elsewhere? And we'll see Tosfos seem to assume in general that there's a stronger connection, that the kohen gadol is not just the bialim and his karban, but he's like a super bialim, which I'll try to explain. Now, just the har on this Tosfos, I don't know if people have seen, the Griz asks, there's like a very small paragraph where the Griz asks on this Tosfos, this is what I understand. If you look in the Yerushalmi, so the Yerushalmi there thinks that that the din is that you need the Kohen Gadol shachting the par and the sayer, right? So if you need him shachting the par and the sayer, I don't know how on earth the Re Klitzon can say that it's a din of Sheidas HaBailim, because the Sayer Lashem is he's not the Bailim. I'm not sure why he thought it's a question at all, because the Yerushalmi there has a totally different drasha. The Yerushalmi there has this drasha of the shachat pehavi, that whatever the kohen is mevi, whatever kohen gadol is mevi, the kohen gadol has to shacht. But we don't have that drasha in the Bavli, so I don't understand why he thought that was a problem for. And I don't quote it. I haven't seen somebody who who says, well, that's just a different Joshua that we don't have. But that's just, I thought, just put on the table that I don't see why Vishacha Behavi should be a problem at all, because that's just not what we're operating with. There's in the Shirman Zachem that they put out from Rav Lichtenstein. So there's he talks there about just he documents this, that apparently Tosfos think that the need for the Shechita is not because he's the Kohen Gadol, but because he's it's a din in the Bailim. I think the footnotes there are from Rav Dani Wolf, who has a footnote there who points out that the Gemara Menachos on Yotess pretty strongly seems to support what the Riklitzon is saying, that you need Shechita b'Bailim. The Gemara there has a machlokes between the Tanakh between the Chamim and Rishimon, whether Yitziko Blila need to be done by the Kohen or not. And what it comes down to is whether you think that I forgot the exact I had right here. Vav Mosif Alinyan Rishon, right? So when you have does the Vav Mosif Alinyan Rishon, does the fact that the Yitzik and Blila are preceding the Kmitza, but does the Vav kind of link the pregame into the game, right? Do we require Kohen for Yitziko Blila as well as for Kmitza or not? Now the Gemara attacks this because we have Shechita, right, which is connected to Kabbalah, right, and we say no v'samach v'shacha, right, v'samach v'shacha tells you even though Shechita is connected, even though you have a vav subsequently, right, don't connect Shechita to Zrika, connect Shechita to Smicha. So then the Gemara asks, well, wait a second, right? If you're going to say that, v'samach v'shachat, so then just like smicha is a din, is b'bailim, so we should require shechita in general to be done b'bailim. And then the Gemara says no at the end, right? The fact that we require the par kohen gadol to be shachted b'bailim tells me that in general. Other karbanos do not need to be shechted b'bayim, right? But the clear mashmas of the Gemara is that the need for the kohen gadol to shecht his par is b'toras the b'bayim, right? Otherwise, the raya wouldn't make any sense. Oh, we know since the b'bayim half were told explicitly that the b'bayim have to shecht the par, that tells us that the b'bayim don't need to shecht other karbanos. If the kohen gadol is shechting not b'toras b'bayim but b'toras kohen gadol, whatever else you're going to say. That's not a raya at all, right? Because we're not that doesn't get off the ground, right? So that strongly seems to back up what Riklason is saying in Anatosis here, right? That that shechita of the par is a din b'bayim. There's another model besides Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, besides b'bayim. Just wanted to throw out there, which I thought was interesting. Kind of hoping someone would say it. Found someone who did, and that's the Netziv. The Netziv says that yeah. Right, in general, there's a need l'chachila. We want the bayil l'shacht their karban. Right, and that comes out from the Gemara in Psachim, which has a different bracha that you say when you shacht it yourself, than when someone shachts it for you. So on Yom Kippur, right, we don't settle for the l'chachila, of having the bayil l'shacht. But on Yom Kippur, it's what's normally hoped for on Yom Kippur is required. Right, that we're gonna upgrade the shechita b'bailim from lechachila to a liyikula, but that's not because of a special connection between the kohen gadol and his par. That's an intensification of the global din of shechita b'bailim according to the Netziv. But according to the Riklatzon, there's this new din of shechita b'bailim for the par kohen gadol. I think that Tosfos Rashi in source 10 thinks so as well. Maybe we'll. Just go over that for now because a little bit. It's already 3:41.
I'm going to go into my perspective. The two really again integrate. not that it's it, but the idea, because I think there is some other Lishonos and Shonet that make it sound like it is a din of Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. They're just saying it's not a din of Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, it's a din of the Kohen Gadol, the Taurus being the Bailim on this, carpet. Everything. What I'm trying to say is that those two are themselves two sides of the same coin. In other words, it's the very same reason why the Kohen Gadol has to do even the otherwise. generic or general parts of the, you know, what happens on Yom Kippur, is the least required of some system that we, exactly what you're saying now, that we accentuate his bias on this carbon yachting. But those aren't coincidental. It's a Kohen Gadol's day, everything about him is what reflects, you know, the, you know, Yom Kippur avodah, and therefore his exaggerated bilus on the karban, right, and his need to be involved in every single part, you know, of even the general avodah on the day, are connected.
I mean, it's still.
You could separate them.
Yeah, I mean, we're just it's. Okay.
I'm just saying, what I'm suggesting in general is that this whole dialectic about Yachid and Shutav and Tzibor, and you know, he's more of a Yachid, he's less of a Yachid, it's more of a Tzibor, it's less of a Tzibor, it's all because of this whole business. And that is connected to his obligation to be involved in aspects of the Avodah that he normally wouldn't be. In addition to the
But you lose the proof that he's a super Bailam on his par, whatever.
No.
The proof is?
So. I think he has to be a super Bailam on his par, and he has to buy it for that reason.
Okay. Yeah.
And for the same reason that his replacement, Kohen Gadol, can totally step into his shoes. It's, I'm saying those two things are connected. Because it's the din of one person embodying like this thing.
Yeah.
So it is. It's totally what you're describing. I'm just saying it doesn't have to be either or with an equally, let's say, reasonable explanation, which is, well, he also has to do, you know, all the other things that, you know, that he's, that, you know, according to the Rambam in particular, you know, that normally he doesn't even have to do. Right?
Yeah.
But it is a din expression of his super bilis, 100%.
So maybe we could, and here, all right, so let me try to explain, put a little bit of meat on the super bilis, and I think this could be veering into the first cover, I don't remember, so correct me if I'm saying anything that was either said already or that I don't think is correct. But I think when we talk about the Kohen Gadol as a super bialim on the par, it's because he's not only, it's not just that he as who he is has to own the carbon, right? That, like, it's not just that he has to buy it, but it's that the Kohen Gadol has to buy it, right? You can talk about it, it's not so precise maybe, but it's not just that he as a gavra, as the owner of this carbon, it's almost that he as a chafza as the owner of this carbon, right? That it's the it has to be the Kohen Gadol's carbon, right? And he, as the Kohen Gadol, has to be the owner of this carbon. So that's what is going to intensify those links, right? That it's not just that it's I bought it, so it's my. Imagine I'm a Kohen for a second. Imagine I'm a Kohen Gadol for another second. It's not just that it's my carbon, but it's that the carbon belongs to the office which I inhabit, right? And
it's
that's
the Yankel, the Kohen Gadol, and you know now it's the Yankel side. There's no such thing on Yom Kippur, or maybe in general on Kohen Gadol, as he's Yankel the Kohen Gadol.
Right, and that's going to...
he's the Kohen Gadol Yankel.
That's going to explain how the second, how the new guy can step in, right? Because he's even, right, Asher Lo requires it to come from his bank account. So the answer is it did come from his bank account, because it came from the bank account of the Kohen Gadol, which he now is.
Which
right?
Also needs to be a big bank account, because of the Kohen Gadol. I'm only half joking.
Yeah. And thanks to Achav HaKohanim,
all those halachos in Ochos Kli HaMikdash,
yeah, right,
are about that integration, which gets expressed in the most acute way on Kohen Gadol's day of Yom Kippur, which is what he's, you know, again, he's around all year round. I mean, he does Minchas Kamitin all year round, but it's basically those two things that he does. He's Minchas Kamitin and Yom Kippur. So his wealth, his bank account, all those things are inseparable from. As he's a yachid, but he's a yachid as the Kohen Gadol and the role that he plays, and that's what's unique about that institution.
So then, what we're doing is we're downgrading Shaar Kohanim to satellite Bailam status, And we're upgrading Kohen Gadol by saying it's not right. He's not just the essential Bialim, but he's the essential Bialim b'toras. He's occupying the office of Kohen Gadol. Right? It's the Kohen Gadol's carbon, which is something that you don't have by other carbonos. So one you know kind of parallel knocking that I threw it before that I was hoping someone would talk about, but I doubted someone would be let's say the Kohen Gadol shechts the par Kohen Gadol l'shem someone else, right? So could that be a Shina Kodesh problem? Right? Is it if he deletes himself, if he's not shechting it for himself, maybe it's not just a problem that he's not shechting it for the bialim of the carbon, but it's no longer being shechted as the par Kohen Gadol. So maybe that's even a Shina Kodesh problem. Just to throw that suggestion out there, right? Which would be really interesting, because then we'd be saying that for Shar Kohanim, on the Shar Kohanim level, bringing someone else in is not even a problem of Shinoi Bialim, because we're just talking about the periphery, and then when we talk about the Kohen Gadol, so deleting him could be not even a problem B'toras Bialim, right? But even B'toras, what is this carbon, right? This is the Kohen Gadol's carbon, and he is the Kohen Gadol. So that's how his that's what's making him this super bialim. That's what's requiring shechita b'bialim. There are a few other tosasin which show that at least tosasin yuma tosi shanim and yuma. I don't think hold this way, but won't look at too many of them as a foil because we want to catch a little bit. But there are three tosasin yuma. We have the tosas on Daf Mem Beis. You have three tosas on Daf Nun and Aleph Nun Mem Beis and Nun Aleph Mem Beis, all of which indicate this stronger bialis of the Kohen Gadol. One of which we've seen, I think it's maybe the weakest proof of the three, but we've seen it already. The idea that the Kohen Gadol can blow the other Kohenim out of the water, right? That his kfiyusa, right, destroys and obliterates their kafya, right? So we have the sun and stars comparison, but now we're saying that like it's not just that he's the sun, but he's like the blinding sun, right? He's like it's easier to understand how the Kohen Gadol can blow them all out, right? Even though the Tosos think that Mikufya has a bialis, but that's nothing when it's compared to this super bialis of Kohen Gadol. On Daf Nun. So Daf Nun, this is look at inside. It's a very interesting Tosos. Dira Maskal Chata Siberhi V'Lav L'Misa Azla. So there's more in this Tosos than you'd think really it requires. Right, the Gemara had asked, right, v'tepeklei chatas shemesu ba'alehi, and then the Gemara had answered, no, it's a chatas tzibur. Right, that's what's going on at this stage in the Gemara. Ask Tosfos, what have you helped by making it a chatas tzibur? Timuli, akati tikshile. Right, we should still be asking. Nehi delo azda lemisa. Fine, we've saved it from misa because it's a carbon tzibur. Haroi, but it should have to go out na l'reiya. Daha Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Lakaman, Dein Chata Sibur Mesa, Kamar Yerovachi Steivu. Right. So according to Rabbi Shimon, we've saved it from Mesa, but we should still have Re'ia, and that's not the case, right? Because we're saying that the new Kohen Gadol is going to swoop in and carry the blood the rest of the way. So why don't we have a problem of Re'ia? Now, the Tosas have like four pieces in here, and they really only I think only need to have one. Let's look. Nearly the Yesh Lomar, the Ahi Re'ia Derabanani, right? So number one, right, Shita Tosos is that the din of Re'ia is Derabananat De'oraisa, and they're invoking that, right, to reduce the pressure, right? First of all, Re'ia is only a din Derabanan generally, and that's going to create more flexibility for when we go there and when we don't. Right, on a fundamental, you know, Daraisa level, Inochanami, the death of the Kohen Gadol would be sufficiently devastating that that you'd have to have, that you might have to have Re'ia. The only case where we had where they were gozer re'ia is when you have a perfect template, right? A perfect copy where you had total kapar, right? So what's the total kapar? Total kapar parallel would be ain't a tzibur mesim. The only parallel you'd have for tzibur is if it was lost and they got a kapar from a replacement. Right, so when you got kapara from a place, and that's what Rabbi Shimon says, that we have re'iyah for a carbon of the shutfin, right? But in a case where the Kohen Gadol dies, so there you're not going to have re'iyah. Okay, Aval hacha, delo mesu kol baleha legamri. Right? So that's a weird phrase. Right? Not all of the owners totally died. Sherei echav akonim kayamit. Right? So 99.9% of the kohanim are alive. So lo mesu kol baleha legamri. Right? Like, whoa, that's pretty impressive. Right? One, the kohen gadol dies, and we have to say, they're not all dead. They're, one is dead. Right? Again, it's leaking through. Like, the Kohen Gadol is, the Kohen Gadol's death is enough that we have to say, well, lo meisu kol ba'alei legamri, right? And then what's the next point they say? They add in something else. So, de Kohen Gadol acher emuna tachtav. And furthermore, we bring in a replacement Kohen Gadol to fill the shoes. Why do I need that? Right? All that I needed to say to answer the question is I could say that the Rabbi Shimon's case, when do we say re'iyah for carbon sibor? When the carbon's rendered useless, right? So you have for yachid, you have mesa, and you have aveda. For tzibur, mesa is irrelevant. So aveda is the only one that's relevant. So there's nothing to talk about, right? We could just go home. We could just say it's not a question. Rabbi Shimon said chavas tzibur aveda goes to re'iyah because. Because here it's the real copy, it's useless. But when it comes to to the par, right? To the case where the owner died, you have all these other people. It shouldn't be l'ri'iyah at all. Instead, to us have to say, well, right? They're not all mesu legamre. We have some surviving remnant of bilus here, and furthermore, right? What do you need the furthermore for? Why don't you need a furthermore that the new guy becomes the kohen gadol? What does that do, right? Original Bailam died. What is Lomal Lomorid? Either I have surviving Bailam or I don't have surviving Bailam. Why are they adding this additional facet to the answer that I have a Kohen Gadol? But if we say that we're saying, you know, till now, that Tosas think that he's not, the Kohen Gadol is not just the Bailam on the carbon, but he's the super Bailam as the Kohen Gadol, so that's going to explain it all very nicely, right? Because, yeah, when the Kohen Gadol dies, so I would indeed have a Havamina that even if it's a Chatas Atzibor, right, that's still, this would be sufficiently devastating to trigger re'iyah at minimum, right? And what we have to say, well, at least we have a few, we have surviving kohanim, lomesu kohanim, legamre. And furthermore, maybe it's not as devastating a loss as we thought, because we have a new occupant occupying the institution, right? So that's, that, put it all together, right, and that will save us from re'iyah dirban. Seems pretty clear, once again, that Tosfos think that the Kohen Gadol is more than just average Joe Bailim, even the Mandamar that it's a chatas atzibur, right? Kavachomer, the Mandamar that it's a chatas hayachad. And finally, right, besides those three, just to revisit the Vitepukle question that they had for one more second, right? So Ashalo Marachmana, Tosfos had the Havamina should teach me that, right? Ashalo Marachmana, that he has a monopoly on the kapara, another kohen will get no kapara at all. Right, so that's basically the same point I was making in the Rambam earlier, that if you're going to say that Asher Lo should preclude any kapara being given to anyone else whatsoever, right? So that tells you that Asher Lo is more than just laying out the money, but it means that we have this monopoly of bailus, this swelling super bailus, which is coming since he's the Kohen Gadol, since it's Asher Lo. Okay, cool. So two more issues to talk about, right? We have our model for how the kohanim, even though they're kaparas mikviyusa, why it's still a carbon yachid, and we have our model for what exactly this more than bailus the kohen gadol seems to be, why it's showing up, why you have dine bailus which don't exist elsewhere. Good. Two more issues to talk about. One is to talk about vidui, and the last issue then is going to be talk about, to return to the question of what happened to chata shmesu ba'aleha if it is no longer a carbon tzibur. Yeah, Mordechai.
Is it that the Kohen Gadol has super bailus, or, Gemara Mebei seems to say that the manamar that Shvita's paro bizar is apostle is because kuka somehow applies to it.
It's because what?
Kuka somehow applies to it.
So,
that's what the Ziv says.
Yes, but is that, I'm saying that Huka, from its Ziv's did, is now just Ma'akim. It's not, is Is that because the Kohen Gadol has Chuchas, or because the Rosh Hashanah says Chukas Olam, and Chuka means that things are Mahakim?
Why is it Mahakim? It's Mahakim because it's more than it is in other places.
Because the
Torah
said Chukas Olam.
Some of the... Isn't that the point of your Rosh?
Yeah. We'll talk after.
Sorry.
Maybe let's talk after we'll clarify, because I'm not understanding what you're saying. Okay.
Why should there be reason, if it's based on that it's more Bible? Why the fact that because it's for the Kohan, for all the Kohanim, should that create more Bible? As the Torah is going to be rather than Torah. In a regular carbon yachid, it is the only Bible. If in a regular carbon yachid was the only Bible, you wouldn't have to shout. Why here, because Torah is going all along, would he have to shout? Would that make it more of a
bite? Because I think the whole carbon is defined. A typical carbon yachid, I think, are two things you can say.
Because it's the Kohen Gadol representing everybody else, he has to show that it's only him and not the rest of the Kohen.
I think that there are a few things coming together. There's that. That's kind of the overcompensation.
Yeah, it's because everybody is, he has to show it's not everybody.
Correct. That's like, you know, maybe the kichas could be explained that way also. I think that's one.
I don't think it's a recognition.
No, what I mean is that typically you have karbanos, right, and then you, like, there's a category called of a karban, let's say. This is very important if it's true. You have typically a category of a karban, and then you have, like, who's going to be in the Bible, right? And it could be Reuben or Shimon or Levi or Yehuda. Doc mentioned before that I certainly think in the Rambam that even that, you know, instead of just being a generic plug in the Bailim, that there's evidence that Shinui Bailim is a difference in Shinui Kodesh. However, as much as that is true, it's doubly, triply, infinitely more true in the Par and the Ayil, because the whole institution of that Korban Yachid, if you will, is designated and created for this Kohen Gadol. You know what I mean? So for that reason, the whole karma is defined by him. It's for him. There's no one else can have this karma. It's not a karma.
And
even then, you know, Reuben and Shimon put their stamp on it, and, you know, and it's not Judah. So I think it's both of them. I don't think they're mutually exclusive either, but that's what I think.
Okay, so let's talk about Vidui. So two questions that will that we need to ask, and two questions are parallel. So the Gemara in Shavuos, so at the end of the first parak, brings Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, who are arguing about who and what, right? The kaparos from the Par and the Seirim are coming for, right? Right. So if you just read at the end of the Gemara, source 11. Where it says Vishnu Rabbi Shimon Hainu Dechsev Tre Viduyin V'dam Apar. Right? Why do I need two Viduyin and Zrikas Adam Hazas Adam Chad Keneged Sayer Hanase Befnim V'Chad Keneged Sayer Hanase Bechutz V'Chad Keneged Sayer Hamishtalech El Rabbi Yehuda Tre Viduyin V'dam Apar Lameli V'Chad Vidui V'damo Sagya. Right? Right, so if we according to Rabbi Shimon, we need separate kaparos from all three. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we only need two kaparos. Right, so what's the third kapara doing? What's the vidui doing? Echalav echal beiso kitatana debi Rabbi Shmuel kachi midas adin noheges mutav yabozaka v'chaper alachai v'al yabozchai v'chaper alachai. Right, so and put in the rest of the hadron there. So even though in the Hanami, right, as far as kapara goes, we only need a kapara from a haza. We have the additional vidu in there because the Kohen Gadol needs to mention himself before he mentions Zachav HaKohen. Right, you can't if you're going to be mechaper for the chayev, you should be a zaka. Right, that's the gemara. Now, so Tosos Yishanim ask a question on Mem Gimel. They say, okay, so I understand why we have two viduyim, and I understand why one is for the Kohen Gadol, and then only the second one can we have Echav HaKohanim. But why does the second vidui mention the Kohen Gadol again? Right? If he's a zakai from the first vidui, so why do you have to repeat him in the second vidui? That's the question that they ask. So, we could... 1 second, I'm still going to go else here. Right, so if we say that bialim, you know, you if the a carbon a vidui has to have the bialim, right? The bialim is somech, and bialim have to be in the vidui. So if that's the case, then we can say that the reason why the Kohen Gadol has to be in the second vidui is because if he's the essential bialim, right, setting aside super bialim, which would be an even more likely, but just the bialim have to be in vidui. You can't have vidui for non bialim on the carbon. Right, that would kind of that we could propose to explain why the Kohen Gadol has to always show up in the vidui. The Rav doesn't say that. The Rav argues that even the Man D'Yomar that their kapara come is bik v'yusa. He thinks that the kapara is still coming through the kapara of the Kohen Gadol. So he needs to be there because their kapara is coming through him. Even though they own their own independent stake in the carbon. And he also assumes, right, that since their kapara comes from him, that requires him to be in both viduyim. I was uncomfortable with this because I thought that kviyusa, you know, if you have an independent stake, that creates an independent kapara. Rav didn't think so. Rav thought that even if they have an independent stake, their kapara is coming through the Kohen Gadol. I thought maybe you could soften it a little bit and say that since he's the real bialim, his kapara is a prerequisite for their kapara, and then you could say that, you know, he needs to show up in the second vidui not just because he's the bialim, like I was saying earlier, but that, you know, prerequisite kapara needs to be in the second vidui in order for, I guess, post-requisite vidui, the kapara to be in the second vidui. But the Rav thinks that they have to that their kapara is still coming, through him, and therefore he needs to be in the second vidui. Now, what's interesting about that idea that the Rav has again is that if that's the case, if their kapara is still coming from him, yet right, what are we saying? We're saying their kapara comes from him. It sounds like a kufya model of kapara. And yet, right, they're so at risk of being blown away by the super bialim of the Kohen Gadol that they need a financial toehold, right? If we're saying that their kapara comes through him, so why do they need afka v'rachmanu mamone, right? So that's coming back to the point that we were saying before. They need to be anchored in the carbon, because if they're not anchored in it with afka v'rachmanu mamone, right, then the Kohen Gadol is just going to not just be mechaper for them, but he's going to occupy the whole carbon. Right. Once they're anchored in the carbon, then they can get kapara through it. So I think either way, right? Either from the Rav's proposal, we're seeing the super bialis of Kohen Gadol being driven home, and according to the other option, we're seeing this idea that even though their kapara comes mikviyusa, they're not true bialim, and that's being reflected by the fact that he needs to be in the second vidui as well. Now, something which works very nicely for the Rav's approach, that the kapara is coming through the kapara of the other kohanim, is highlighted by a question that the Ritva asks. The Ritva in Shavuos asks a parallel question to what Tosfos asks. Right? Tosfos asked, why do you need the Kohen Gadol to show up in the second vidui on the par? The Ritva asks, well, if we have this principle that al yavo chayiv, yichapar al chayiv, so besides for having two viduyin on the par, we should have to have two viduyin on the sayer. Right? How come when it comes to the Sayer Meshaleach, says the Ritva, we can, the Kohen Gadol can just march right up to the Sayer and says the vidui for everybody, and that's it. We should have to have an initial vidui where he's machaper for himself. So, right, so the Rav's answer is going to work phenomenally, right? Because the Rav's going to say, you only need a prerequisite, a pre-vidui, or you only need to worry about Yavo Chayev, Yichaper ala Chayev, if their kapara is coming from his, right? They can't, if he's being machaper for them, so then he better be a zakai if he's going to be machaper for them. And even the one, the Omar Be'kviyusa Miskapri, he's still being machaper for them, so that's why he has to come in first. But for the sayer, He's not being mechaper for them on the Sar, right? That's the Sar Meshaleach. That belongs to the Tzibur. And in that case, you'll be fine with one vidoy. So the Rav would nicely answer what the Rifa wants to say. If you are still not so fully comfortable, like me, I think, still, with the idea that Kviyusa Miskapri still is being mechaper through the Kohen Gadol, you want to say they're getting, you know, their independent stake, or their stake, gives them kapara. So then I think what else maybe you could propose is that there's another big difference between the sire and the par, which is the sire is a carbon seabor and the par is not a carbon seabor. Right? It's a carbon yachid, as we're documenting. What do I care? The Kohen Gadol can kind of blend into the tzibur much better than he can when he's bringing his own carbon. Because the carbon of the tzibur, the kapara is not being brought for any individual yachet, right? It's a kapara b'toras the tzibur. So if that's the case, we can say that when you are bringing a carbon as a yachet, right? And then they're the satellite bialim, so the Kohen Gadol's got nowhere to hide, right? And if he's a chayiv, that's a problem. He has to be a zakai before he can say the vidui for everybody else. But when it comes to the Sar Meshaleach, he's not being mechaper for himself individually and everyone else individually. He's being mechaper for the tzibur. Being mechaper for the tzibur, right? So then we don't look at it as a case of yavo chayiv yechaper l'chayiv. It's Klal Yisrael. It's the kapar of Klal Yisrael, not the kapar of yachidim. And there maybe you would not have a problem of chayiv. Now, the Ritva himself, his answer to this question of why not have a second vidui, it's kind of a palate. The Ritva says, well, once you've brought the par, so af b'shel ser mishtaleach, chashvinen le zakai mechaper alachayev. Well, once he's brought the par, now he's a chashev as a zakai for the sire, which is I thought it was a palate, because He brought the par for Rabbi Yehuda. He's just a mechaper for Tumas Mikdash, right? So how does being mechaper for Tumas Mikdash make you chashiv kezakai for the rest of Tariyah, right? I didn't understand it, and I don't understand it still. Could you propose that being bringing the par does more than just give him kapara for Tumas Mikdash? And one way to say this, we'll not find anybody to say it, but it would be fascinating, right? If we said that he's kind of fully established himself as the Kohen Gadol by bringing the par, right? We have the Rav's idea that what's behind the Hafrasha is that he has to become more than just the Kohen Gadol. He has to become, right, parallel to Aaron HaKohen, right? So could we say that when you've brought the parashal Aaron, having mechaper for yourself, b'toras the Kohen Gadol, and be mechaper for all their Kohanim, so that has now fully developed his Kohen Gadol status, and maybe that's what allows him to be considered a zakai generally, to be mechaper for everyone else? Put it out there. I don't know. If you don't say something like that, if you don't say there's some klali, you know, impact that the par has in the Kohen Gadol, then I have no idea how the Ritva can say that he's chashiv kezakai for the sire. Yeah.
The emphasis seems to be on al tumas, or maybe on tumas mikdash and tasha, that with regards to chatayim of the mikdash, Kohen Gadol is already clean.
Right, but how does that allow him to walk in as a zakai for the sire mishtaleach?
In the Hanami, he's not considered more of a zakai than the rest of the client's child, but he's already considered a zakai because the hakpada of being a zakai was about, well, the first line is
if we only care about zakai for Tumas Mikdash for Kadshav, then the question goes out the window. The question assumes that he has to be a zakai for Sar Meshaleach, and the answer is in Chami he's a zakai by virtue of bringing the par. And I'm asking, and giving alternate answers, but if you say the Ritva, then I think you have to say something along the lines of what I'm saying. Ask me afterward. Yes.
Should you say that for the Kohen Gadol, because of his identity as the representative of Klai, or maybe the Mikdash as well, then his personal chatas are assessed most directly in terms of Tumas Mikdash or Kedasha, meaning that his Iker Cheshbin is in terms of Tumas Mikdash or Kedasha. So, I mean, obviously he has other chatas, but I don't know. and that for him that's considered the Zaka, because that's really how he's assessed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a drush.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the path of the in general, Raman inferred Gimel from Esgarbanos, Kirchhoff's Bad, the Fatosi of Yusuf Hashad, Yusuf Zikat Lakah, even though it's more cloyistic, maybe the Kafsa Shalkarban is not only a certain thing, but the Vito may be more cloyistic.
I was going to say that also the description of the Vito of the Par, even though the Par is the Par specifically on the Kadasho, the Vito doesn't describe it to the Kadasho.
Right.
You just, I'm saying, if you, in the mission of Lama Dehme Bey is,
Moshe is saying that this. Moshe is saying with the Riff's answer, I think. Is saying that the. I'm correct that there's this that there is a klali impact
in
from the par, and the answer is that's coming from the vidui, which is a klali vidui.
No,
it doesn't say. Meaning it could be true, but it's just for somebody, but it's not. The Ritz doesn't sound like he's saying that.
I mean, I would question whether Rabbi Huda thinks
You would have to have a different lashon of the
vidui.
If you say yes, it's fine.
Yeah, I have to. Tosfos are bothered that some of the Shnayas don't fit in with Rabbi Huda. I don't remember if this was one of them. So I think it might have been.
It bothers you the most is that it should be considered a zakai.
Right.
It doesn't bother you so much that the vidui and the par should be a prerequisite for doing the vidui on the side, or it also bothers you.
I'm bothered. How is he considered a zakai?
Specifically zakai.
Yeah. He was machaper for like
small things.
Qualitatively big things, but
right.
There's a whole lot of quantitative and qualitative big things out there that are lacking.
Right.
So
again, your answer doesn't really answer that either. But you would say he's more Aaron Cohen-esque. Does that help you the Zaka part? Because Aaron Cohen is apparently Zaka.
Yeah.
That part's a little. If you want to say, you know, as if what you're really trying to explain is, like, well, how does the power qualify him to be, you know, the whatever? Then that's fine. But then I would argue again, that you don't necessarily need that. You could say something. I would have said something like what Jake said, but not with the drush part. Because I'm not. I think you're right. Saying the zakai is really tough. So I don't know the answer to that. But if you want to say, oh, how does the par qualify him? I would say because the par, according to everything we're saying, this you know more yachin and more tzibur all combined because this is the kohen gadol. Blah, blah, blah. That's also what qualifies him to be the person to make the. On the sire for all the cloud, like why him of all members of cloud is all the answers because he, you know, uniquely has just expressed in that.
Right, but he needed.
Korban,
but
doesn't
explain exactly. He needed, yeah, which was a problem for him in the par also.
Right, but maybe the point was that
the par
reinforces that.
Okay.
And you know, he starts in house with you know. You know, once he's established that, then he's ready. Again, I was like, you were talking the other day also, that you know, the only smicha on Korban HaSibur are Sir Mishtolayach and Korban HaSibur. Rambam explains, that's because these two Korbanos have a singular and unique person you know, who stands out to be the one to do it. Korban HaSibur to the best. Then, here. So say in that vein, having brought the par, you know, kind of accentuates that he's that guy. That's similar to what you're saying, because you're saying you're bringing the Aaron Cohen part. I'm saying this like, you know, like cements his...
Right, because you know, I'm feeling the Zaka pressure.
Right, but what I'm asking is, does Aaron Cohen help you with the Zaka? Drush aside? That's what I think.
Right.
And even again, you know, Tumas Mikdash for Kadasha, like what Jake was saying, you know, that's his thing. But I would say more than that, because the whole Mikdash as a framework is all about that whole Yachid Tzibur, you know, thing. So I think the weak link in all these is to explain if Zakai means Zakai Menachet. But maybe Zakai doesn't mean Zakai Menachet. You know, maybe Zakai, another way to look at it, meaning what. What singles him? What qualifies him? If you mean Zakai ben Achan,
I guess. Well, I mean, because the Pasha says that the Sharkonim are going to be Zakai as well afterwards, right?
After.
After post Kapara.
Yeah,
so
they're saying. Right. I'd say if we're looking to explain what this process does to qualify him for that, I think we have several good, probably parallel answers. And if any of them really require, like, a kapara angle, then it's in all cases a little bit short. That's but it could be.
Okay. So, if we, setting aside the ritva, right, so we still have two other possibilities, right, either you have a one case, the kapara is through the Kohen Gadol, so that's where you need Zakai. And the other option is that in the carbon sibur, it's less of a problem if he's not a Zakai than it is if it's a carbon yachid. Okay, so the last last issue to deal with is the question of chadash meisubala, right? So the Gemara had invoked, had initially assumed that you would have a problem with chadash meisubala. Right, and then the Gemara said, "No, you don't have a problem because it's a chatas, it's a carbon sibur." And then on Nuna Mibes, the Gemara ran back to say, "Well, don't we have a leman never carbon yachid?" And the Gemara never addressed what is the fate of chatas meisubala issue once we come back to it being a chatas a yachid. So in the Rambam. We've seen that he does have the answer to this question, right? That the answer to how can it be a chadas a yachid, how can it be a carbon yachid and yet not be chadas meisubala? So the answer was right after Rechmanu Mamone, right? Which in there is pretty clear, right? The fact that their satellite kobayim waiting in the wings was enough to allow them to save the day when the Kohen Gadol's gone. Yeah, so this I was bothered because it's not clear in the Gemara. And other than Rambam, I didn't see people addressing it. And then on I think it was Monday, we got up to Samach Hamid Beis. So that was Hashkacha because on Samach Hamid Beis, it is addressed not explicitly, but there's a very clear reference to the issue on Samach Hamid Beis. So the Gemara here is trying to figure out there's a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. If you collected the shkalim for the year and then you lost them and then you found them again, so can you use the shkalim for next year's chovos? Right. So Rava says the machlokas is whether chovos l'shana zo krevos l'shana acharis. Right. So that's what they argue about. Right. According to the Chachamim, the answer is no. So you have to get new shkalim because you can't use old shkalim for a new chovos. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, no problem. You can use old shkalim for new chovos. Gemara asks, well, if Rabbi Yehuda thinks that you can use old shkalim for new chovos, then we're gonna have a problem because Rabbi Yehuda thinks that if you lost the par v'sayer and then you brought different ones and then you found the par v'sayer, yamusu, right? And the question is, why can't you just recycle the par v'sayer next year, right? If Rabbi just explained that according to Rabbi Yehuda, chovos shalshana zo krevos shalshana acharef, then why does the par have to die? Why can't you recycle the par next Yom Kippur? So the Gemara gives a bunch of explanations for why this case is different. One of them is the following. Gemara says towards the bottom of Samachay Mabez, first word of the line was Yamusu, then the Gemara says Amru Rabbanon Kameda Abaye Gzeira Mishum Chatas Shemesu Baalav. Right, that we gazer that the carbon should die because of the general rule that chadash shemesu ba'alav. So the Gemara asks, "Hatenach par sar meikel neimar gzeir par tusar." Right, so the Gemara says, "Well, that explains what's going on with the par because the par we could have a situation of misas ba'alav. So I understand why we have to have a gzeira for the par atu chadash shemesu ba'alav. How exactly there's a misas ba'alav problem is not clear yet." But asks the Gemara, what Mises HaBailam concern we ever have with the Sar Mishaleach? Right? And the Gemara's answer is, or the Sar Lashem, Umishum Gzera Yamusu, !! Right? So the Gemara says, maybe we gazer on the Sar Atu Par, but that can't be because we would never go so far as to require Misas a hasayir as a gzeira atu misa sapar. For whatever reason, exactly the par has to die. Now the Gemara does assume that you could have a scenario, right, where we're having the par and the par is dying because of chadash meisubala. So what is that case, right? What is the case where chadash meisubala is being invoked? So says Rashi, it's happening in a case shema yamos hakohen b'shanazo. Right? Maybe the Kohen Gadol is going to die in the during the year. So if the Kohen Gadol dies, then it's a chata shmeisubala. Tosas don't understand because Tosas understand Rashi is thinking that we let the par die because maybe the Kohen Gadol will die and we wouldn't know. But Pashas Rashi the Achronim say is that what's going on here is that the Kohen Gadol might die. And yet, we would think that we could still bring this carbon anyway. Right? Like we know the Kohen Gadol died, we're not unaware the Kohen Gadol died. We just, since we might think that you could bring this carbon, and you can't because of din of chata shemesu ba'alea, so therefore we're going to preemptively let the par die. We'll let the par die now. Shema, the Kohen Gadol will die, triggering the real din of chata shemesos, and we wouldn't know about it, and we would bring it, and we would bring it anyway. So Rashi then, there's a havmin in the Gemara, but it seems that Rashi thinks that the lumaskana, we do have a din of chata shemesu ba'alea for the par Kohen Gadol in the event the Kohen Gadol dies. Now, what you want to ask immediately is: does Rashi think that the kapara comes mikufya, or does the kapara come mikviyusa? Right? If the kapara comes mikufya, then it's one thing to say lumaskana in a chanami we do have a problem of chata shemesos, right? But if the kapara is mikviyusa, is there still a problem of chatas shmeis about that? Right? Rambam's whole point was to say that kviyusa saves you from that. So the Gemara thinks in a chanami there is, right? And he says that the reason why there is, regardless of kufya or kviyusa, if you think that it's a carbon yachid, you're going to have a problem of chatas shmeis about that. Is because you still can't compare the bialis of the Kohen Gadol to the bialis of Shar Kohen. How does he put it? Elavai the perashashi yikar, the misa sechem and a kohenim leislamba. Right, if one of the other kohenim die, there's no problem. Afilu mikviyusa miskapri. Right, even if the kohenim get kapara mikviyusa, kevan delav migaza did who asi ela mishal kohen gadol. The afagav dafker rachmana lekulam kedamu reparakei leil afilu hachi eker shal kohen gadol who. Even though we said kviyusa and afker achana amone, it is still be iker the carbon of the kohen gadol. Right, so even if the kapar is mikviyusa, and after achon mumone, the ikar bailim is still the kohen gadol, right? Which, as a model to understand, we totally are equipped to do, right? Bein mitzad downgrading the kohenim and bein mitzad upgrading the kohen gadol. Right, in Achanami we now have, as a result of that, another nafkamina we can throw on the fire, right? That for Rashi, you will have a problem of chata shmeisu ba'alea for Kohen Gadol. What's really interesting is that then what's the what lemaskana you have a reality lemandamar bikviyusa miskapri that echav akohanim can prevent tamura, but they can't prevent misa. They can't prevent chata shmeisu ba'alea, which really makes a lot of sense if you think about it. Because what does that mean? That means that we have these satellite bialim, right, who are getting kapara mikviyusa. So what does satellite bialim do? Satellite bialim, it allows them to compete, right? The Kohen Gadol doesn't have a monopoly on the carbon. We can't call it a total carbon yachid where he has free reign with no competition. So they're enough in the picture that they can prevent him from being maimed. At the same time, right, there's only one captain of the ship, right? So, you know, the other mates on the ship can give the captain trouble, but if the captain's gone, then you will have a reality of chata shmeisu ba'alea because he is the captain. Right, and even though they're kaparas mikviyusa, they are much less so. Right, so for Rashi, we have this nafkamina being expressed. You'll see Tosas here. It's puzzling what exactly they think. Tosas think that the gzeira is shema one of the kohanim dies, which would explain why we'd be concerned that we didn't know about it. And they say that even if the kaparas mikufya, we should gazer if one of the kohanim dies because it could be confused with the regular case of chata shmeisu ba'alea. The question is that do Tosos think that if the kapara is b'kviyusa, do they really think that the death of one of Echav HaKohanim would trigger the din of Chatash Mesu Baalek? So that's Rikin Eger is asking about this over here. The Netziv says, no, what Tosos really mean, and I think it has to, you have to be Tosos this way, is that Tosos mean there's no din of Chatash Mesu Baalek bein mikofia bein mikviyusa. If one of the Kohanim dies, we should gazer for the next year to let the para die because it could be confused with a regular case of chatash mesubala. So as policy, if one of the kohanim dies, to prevent confusion, we will not let the par live into the next year. But there's no din of chatash mesubala being triggered here. Which, first of all, I think, given the fact that Tosas think that the Kohen Gadol is the super bailam, as we've seen from a few different Tosas in, it would be pretty shocking for Tosas to think that Shar Kohanim's death could create real problems of Chadash Mesav Allah. So that, I think, is one another proof that what they mean, what the Nesiv is saying to mean. And okay, good. So that's right. So just to sum up, right? We had the two central vague points in the Gemara on Daf Nun were what happens to Chadash Mesav Baalek if it's a Karban Yachid? What is the status? How can you have a Chatas Hayachid with Kapara Mikviyusa? We documented that there could be, we could talk about Kapara Mikufya consisting of Baalus or not, Achokas Rashi, Achokas Titosos and the Rev, with a few of Nafkamina. We talked about how to understand Chatas Hayachid, Karban Hayachid with Kviyusa, right? We had kind of two points, one after another. Point one was that they're the peripheral Bialim, they're not central Bialim in the Karban. I thought that explained most of the Rambams, and that the rest of the Rambam was explained by not only are the other Kohanim peripheral, right, but the Kohen Gadol, since he's not just the Bialim B'Toras being the Gavra, he's the Bialim B'Toras, the Kohen Gadol, the office of Kohen Gadol has to have this Karban, so that makes him, you know, super Bialim, so on both ends, we've explained this. We saw nafkamina of Kohen Gadol as Bailim in Vidui, in Shechita, in Afkarei Rachmana Ramone, in Smicha, and finally Shitas Rashi at the end here, that in Achanami you will not have a problem of Temura, but the Kohen Gadol is sufficiently set aside for everyone else that even Lamandar of Bekviusa Meskapri, you will have a problem of Chata Shmesa. Well, that was the death of the Kohen Gadol.
Very good.